Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger. President Obama is sitting down with five experts on a very serious issue. How much the government can and should know about your personal information?
As late as last month, the recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credibility.
Jim Baker resigned.
What am I supposed to do? Well, the government seems to be cheating, selling us to the enemy. And those who are supposed to be preaching are no TV. Oh.
From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at TracyandFriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
In the Oval Office, call me President Barack, President Barack, President Barack.
And if my critics get an attitude,
I tell them to stop, I tell them to stop, I tell them to stop.
And if you need that new health care,
sign up because it's hot, sign up because it's hot, sign up because it's hot.
I'm Commander-in-Chief and I'm 2 terms strong, plus I've got this health care which has got it going on. I am a nice press with some nice dreams. See this flag pin? See my swag's clean, affordable health care. Officially a go. Oh, that's better than what we had a year ago. Your options are really widespread. Don't worry about what them, they, her, or he said. I could educate you. This could be your health ed. Jump on your mom's plan. That's how you get a his ed. Present, I'm the man. Been the presence, yes, we can. And I dealt with all this health care while dealing with our aunt. So don't try to talk about my plan like the people haven't wanted this. They've waited long for this. And it covers all conditions that could pre-exist. You should think about it. Take a second. Matter of fact, you should take it easy. And rock to the gym from Barack Obese. When I'm in the Oval Office, call me President Barack, President Barack, President Barack. And if my critics get an attitude,
I tell them to stop, I tell them to stop, I tell them to stop.
And if you need that new health care,
sign up because it's hot, sign up because it's hot, sign up because it's hot.
I'm Commander-in-Chief and I'm 2 terms strong and I've got this health care which has got it going on.
I'm the boss man, but y'all knew
y'all knew that.
Creating jobs, man, yeah, I had to do it.
Yeah, I did it.
I've got my wife posted up on my left side, VP on my right side. Yeah, that's how we ride. I ain't no other way to play the game the way I play. Nothing was the same legislation. You should call me Drake.
Last name,
Garrett, B-A-M-A.
First name,
B-A-R-A-C-K. If you choose it, just use it. They can't refuse it. No pre-existing condition could ever make you lose it. So tell a friend or a random guy, I've got a game changer right here that saves lives. So don't stand and diddle. My health care is a shizzle. It's chock full of top-notch health care provisions. We'll cover all your vizzles, your dizzles, and your tizzles. Now while you figure that out, it's back to that charisma. When I'm in the Oval Office, call me President Barack, President Barack, President Barack.
Would my critics get an attitude?
I tell them to stop, I tell them to stop, I tell them to stop.
And if you need that new health care,
sign up because it's hot, sign up because it's hot, sign up because it's hot.
I'm Commander-in-Chief and I'm 2 terms strong and I've got this health care which has got it going on.
Hey, good afternoon and welcome to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. It's 9 minutes after the hour of 12 noon. You can tell I've been off a couple days, but I really have. I took a break. So, people got in touch with me and want to know if I was all right. I'm doing good. Last week I had surgery, and this week I've recovered, and I went to church on Sunday, and I played hooky on Monday and Tuesday. I did. I'm not going to tell a lie.
You told me you weren't on vacation.
That's not a vacation, Styx.
When you're not at work, it's vacation.
No, it's not.
Oh.
It's called personal day, days off.
What's a personal day?
It's a day that you don't go to work.
Oh, okay.
You know, like personal days, you go and, you know.
Steel mill people don't get personal days.
But I didn't get to sleep in. I didn't sleep in.
Okay.
She took a mental health day.
Thank you very much. Hey, I've got a special friend in the studio with me. She's going to be hanging out with me for the next couple of weeks while she is on spring break or winter break. And her name is Annie. What's your last name, Annie?
Brooks.
Well, you know what? We're going to give you a name. We just don't know what it is yet. Everyone here has a name but me. See, Jeff knows everything. Mark knows it all. Styx is Styx. You haven't met Ben yet. God bless you. We've got callers that call in, and when they call in, and after a while, you get a name. So we have to find out what your personality is and, you know, a name you will get. We're not quite sure yet. We'll see. But it was a mental health day. That's what it was.
Okay.
I got away from you and Ben and Jeff. Mental health. I like that. See, and I see she's already doing well.
She's already part of the team.
That's right. So what's new? How are you guys doing? I'm glad I have a show when I came back in. Nobody yelled at me and said, hey, well, you left those lunatics here, so you guys must have been kind of, you did pretty good while I was gone.
Yeah, I think we did well. We didn't seem to have any big issues or fights or arguments. Or
yeah, right. Did Jeff call anybody stupid?
I don't think so.
Huh?
He shut several callers off.
Hey, 212, how are you? Oh, where you know?
They walked away.
I probably got slammed on Monday.
Yeah, we did. Jeff handled it well.
That's good. It happened. Now you see what America's really like.
No, these were the Brits.
These were the Brits?
Yeah, they were all from England.
Get out.
Yeah.
Hey, the number 347.
They were from England, or they had really good fake accents.
Hey, the number. So England people say bad words too?
Yeah.
The number 347-945-5229. The number for you to call in. What are they doing?
Hey, it's the guy from Toronto again.
You know he's special. Hey, Styx, did you play the Mega Million?
No, I did not. I was going to wait for it to
play?
Go.
I talked about what I would buy if I won.
Did you play?
No.
So we know why you guys didn't win, so now we know.
Well, I was waiting for it to go over a billion.
I heard you had a better chance of getting hit by lightning on the way to buy the ticket than of winning.
That's what I heard. But two people won.
Really?
Yeah, one in New Jersey. Was it New Jersey?
Are they bankrupt yet?
No. They haven't cashed
Georgia
yet.
Georgia and California. Yep.
Hey, do me a favor. Turn Annie's mic up. She's a soft talker. Hey, we got a guest coming in at 2 o'clock, but from now until then, it's going to be open mic. I played this clip, and it was put together by a colleague of mine named Snoop, Ducky Dog. And it was the Barack Obama healthcare sign-up promotion. And, I put on my Facebook page when I saw this, this is how a generation or people get information. And become aware of what they need to do. Because a lot of people, if you're not on the internet, if you're not watching the news, you may or may not be paying attention to how to sign up, where to sign up. And this is how they have been reaching out into different areas and hitting them by their genre of music. And I said, how sad is it that we now send information on how to sign up through a rap video? So, Annie, you're the youngest one in the room. I'm going to ask you, what do you think?
I think it's kind of terrible that it has to be entertaining for young people to listen to it, but, you know, it's marketing.
Okay.
Market things as a product.
So my question to you, because I'm going to fill you, I'm going to try to get as much information out of you as possible.
Okay.
How do we get younger people to pay more attention to more serious things instead of trying to entertain them into information? Because marketing is fine, but see, marketing is the concept of marketing is for me to get you to move on my behalf. That's what marketing does. I market my program so that every day from noon until 3, you will turn into me. That's it. It's not about you getting, you can go everywhere else. From noon until 3, you should be here. McDonald's markets the golden arches so that we try to, make you believe that I'm loving it. McDonald's, I love you. You're great. If you eat my food, you'll lose weight. We really want you to believe that. Coca-Cola wants you to believe that you can't go a day without a Coca-Cola. How do we begin to get people to come back to thinking for themselves and searching out information?
I think in this day and age of like Twitter and Facebook and Tumblr and Instagram, people, they all want to be like a product themselves. They're kind of egomaniacs. So I think if you want young people to listen to you, you tell them how important they are, even if it's not true.
Hey, you're important, psych.
Yeah.
You got a point there.
Yeah.
Because it's funny you say that because I was thinking about this. I'm not a selfie person. So I do a lot of Facebook, but you don't find a whole lot of selfies of me up on Facebook.
Unless it's some kind of a special event with me and my wife or me and my daughter, nobody to take the picture, you're not going to find anything with me either.
But, I mean, for me to take my camera and hold it up and smile and be in the bathroom and taking it up against the mirror, getting me to do that, it's not going to happen. And your generation is nuts.
I think selfie culture is a feminist issue because, like, young women can't really control how they're portrayed otherwise, but selfie culture is, like, if you take a selfie, you can control exactly how you're portrayed, you control what you're wearing, you control how you look, you can even, like, doctor it a little, put a nice Instagram filter. And, I don't know, I think it's a positive thing. It can get a little excessive and distasteful, sorry.
I mean, it's a positive, you're right, don't jump because you don't have to say sorry because they're always
people Photoshop their selfies?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Oh, you would be surprised what we do with a selfie. Actually, you don't have to Photoshop it, you can Instagram it. We have apps.
Just put a filter, make you look super cute.
Absolutely. We change our whole look. You can put a little hat
on
us. Oh, yeah.
I can lose like 20 pounds.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
Make you look like a total Ken doll.
Absolutely. You'd be looking like, you know, G.I. Joe with Kung Fu grip. Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. Is it too warm over there? Because if it is, I turned the heat on, the air off, because it was cold when I came in.
I'm
then
good.
It got hot. Oh, good. Because I freeze people over there. So I have to ask. What's that?
I'm fine. I got a black T-shirt on. I can take off the flannel shirt if I have
new
to. What, somebody's smoking?
Get smoking pot through medical. I'm surprised.
Wait a minute.
What?
To get a prescription, you have to go through a doctor, which means your parent knows you have the doctor. So are the parents allowing the children to get scripts for medical marijuana?
Well, it depends. When you say teen, it depends on what part of the teen you're talking about, because you can be 18.
17. Well,
pot can be like a gentle way to treat depression, anxiety, eating disorders, insomnia.
That's true. It does all that.
Oh, yeah.
And you really don't care.
It can be a gentle painkiller.
It is. You
so can bourbon.
But the problem is, it will do all those things, and you are right, it will do that. And I have consumed a whole lot. I'm not going to lie. In my day, I did. And I will tell you now, it's not a good thing because you can find other measures of THC if you need to take that, if that's what it's going to do. That's my opinion. If you're going to take THC, that's the chemical that's inside of marijuana, you can find it. But these guys are not taking it to cure. I mean,
did you just say marijuana?
Marijuana.
Okay.
Because what I did when I smoked marijuana,
yeah,
I inhaled. I did not do like Bill. And I'm telling you, yes, it will cure. I didn't gain weight, and I had the munchies all day long and didn't care. I was high. You could, fine. I don't care if you don't like me. If you gave me another joint, go to the next episode. So what? That's not a good way to walk through life, and people are. Yeah, it does cure depression because I really don't give a care at all about nothing. Be like, hey, Tracy, guess what? So-and-so died. Oh, man, that's bad. Ooh, for real?
I think it's a gentler drug than alcohol.
I don't think people ought to drink. You got the wrong one. You're right. But let me ask you this. Do you believe, as most people do, that people that smoke marijuana never kill people? Like drunk drivers?
I don't know. Maybe because they do something stupid, like a mistake. But I don't think they, like, get angry at somebody when they're stoned and, like, murder them.
See, the problem I have with marijuana is not necessarily marijuana. It's the fact that there's so much additives being put in it because there's nobody checking on it.
Well, that's crazy.
It's like moonshine.
Additives.
It's like moonshine.
Yeah,
you know, during Prohibition, a lot of people went blind.
The pot they smoke in a day is not the pot of I was in California. They got a store, and the store was like going in and buying a toothbrush. When I was coming up, we had like three toothbrushes, hard, medium, and soft. And you might have had two brands. You go into toothpaste aisles today, and there are so many SKUs of toothbrushes, you don't even know if it brushes your own teeth or if you have to brush your own teeth. And marijuana, it's the same thing now. They got, you know, it's got flavors, it's got strength.
Well, they just had marijuana lollipops on the television there.
They got, and Cheech and Chong was only eating the brownies. They got whole.
He was also too in Labrador too. Remember?
Hey, Brad, how you doing? That's amazing. Hey, Private Carl, your mic is on.
I'm listening. I'm letting you guys. Good morning, everybody. First off,
good morning.
Good morning, Brown.
Good morning, Brown.
Merry Christmas. It's Brown Beasley, your friend from California. I was just, you know, getting edified on cannabis.
You know I'm telling the truth, because out there in California, y'all wacky as heck. You know y'all got marijuana from swinging from the trees, and you go into a store and it look like a department store. You can buy it in different colors, different flavors, different shapes, different smells. And call it medical.
Provided that you are, I think, Prop 215 compliant, provided that you have an ailment and a recommendation from a doctor, a prescription, so to speak. Not anyone can just walk in there. You have to have an ailment, and it has to be approved by a medical doctor.
Hey, Brad, I got a question for you.
Yes, ma'am.
When I go get, because I don't know anything about the legalities of this. So since you're out there, you're going to be my authority today. When I get a script.
I can tell you this. You couldn't have picked a better person, but go ahead.
Okay, now. Oh, my. When I get a script from the doctor, he gives me 15 pills and tells me no refill unless I come back.
Mm-hmm.
When you get a marijuana script, does it read anything differently?
Yeah, there's a limited amount of what you can have and what you can have in your possession, and I guess depending on your ailment, I guess you could have, you know, you would be able to get more over a month's period, and you're also allowed in your home to grow a certain number of plants.
There are some
guidelines there, some restrictions.
Isn't the limit 10 plants per household?
I'm not sure.
Depends on the state.
I'm sure.
Every state is different.
It varies for person.
I'm quite sure they'd have to put a limit on how many plants you could have, because I know my cousins. My cousins would, if they didn't put a limit on it, they'd have an acreage farm.
I mean, that's a nice hobby.
And it would make sense that you would put a limit on, like there's a limit on how much alcohol you can distill for your own use, too.
You can't distill alcohol, can you? You're still illegal, isn't it?
I think for your own use, you're allowed to distill so much now.
You can do beer.
Well, you can make all the beer and wine you want.
But alcohol, so why is alcohol different?
That doesn't make any sense.
Tax.
I don't know. Alcohol is truly a dangerous drug.
It's truly a dangerous drug, but beer isn't?
Far more. Well, alcohol is. I'm including it in beer. Alcohol in my estimation and experience, alcohol is a far more dangerous drug than marijuana. Far more dangerous.
Oh, we were just watching this news article here. It was talking about kids getting high on medical marijuana, and it actually said getting high. How can that be without parental knowledge in California? Don't you have to take the kid to the doctor and the kid got to get a script and yada, yada, yada?
No, because your kid can go to the doctor now and get an abortion, and your parents never know.
You guys have a chance.
What I want to know is if under Obamacare I can get a medical card for free and I can just.
Wow.
Where are you? Where are you located?
She's here
in
Youngstown.
A number of other states that have medical marijuana. Of course, California was first in
2016 in Ohio, baby.
No. No. It will not be on the 2016. No. It won't pass. It won't pass. Medical marijuana will not pass in 2016 in Ohio. Now, I'm not saying it will never pass.
Well, legalized marijuana hasn't even passed in California.
Well, that's true, too.
It's
medical marijuana.
In Colorado and Florida. To answer the question, you know, kids, they don't necessarily, there's still cannabis and marijuana that's, you know, in the street, so to speak, in the underground market, that market still exists. And, you know, I guess kids get access to it.
Well, no, they were talking about specifically marijuana that came from these pharmacies.
Yeah, medical marijuana.
It said medical marijuana from the pharmacy.
But you don't have to have your parents' permission to go to a doctor. That's not something that you have to have. You can go.
I thought under 18 you had to have permission for everything except an abortion.
My understanding, kids, you'd have to be of a certain age in order to get an approval or a prescription or a recommendation, I think that they call it. Now, there have been some kids that have certain types of epilepsy or
mm-hmm.
maybe even cancer,
right.
And that have been approved, or it's allowed, and it's probably still against federal law, but it's helped them tremendously with their symptoms. The cannabis plant is a pretty remarkable plant. Now, I wanted to ask you guys.
He talks a lot. You have to just jump in. No, you just have
I'm
to jump
sorry.
In.
I'm sorry.
Continue.
Let me just ask you guys this. But I'm on topic.
He'll talk for 3 hours straight and make it his own show. Yeah, Brown.
Let me ask you. Now, marijuana is classified as a Schedule I drug. Okay.
Okay.
Now, that's in the same category as cocaine, heroin, PCP, and, you know, the most dangerous drugs out there. Do you feel that that's and that's done by the federal government. Do you
mm-hmm.
feel that that is appropriate, that is right?
Well, you know
Absolutely
why that was done.
Not.
Well, hold on one at a time. What were you saying, Sticks?
Well, you know why that was done, don't you, Brown?
Why?
Well, because
William
of
Randolph
the hemp
Hurst.
Plant. The hemp plant had all types of uses.
Right.
They can make clothing out of it. They can do all types of things of it, and they weren't able to control people. And it grows wildly. I mean, people can grow it, and the hemp plant has all kinds of uses. And yeah, there were rich folks that got together that the hemp plant affected their industry.
We grew acres and acres of hemp during the Second World War.
And Amy, Annie, what were you saying? You were saying it was so wrong.
I don't think it's a dangerous drug at all.
What, marijuana?
Yeah.
Why?
It makes
It's addictive. It's definitely addictive.
It's like
not
mentally addictive. It's not physically addictive.
It's mentally addictive, but it's addictive just like cigarettes.
Well, yeah,
no.
Nicotine is a totally different addictive.
I don't know. If the government's okay with alcohol and people drinking themselves to death day after day, then I don't see why pot shouldn't be okay. I honestly just do not see the difference. Like, I do agree that...
Do you want to carry that logic over to heroin?
Honestly?
Yeah.
Like, in general, yeah, I kind of think everything should be legal.
Why do you think everything should be legal? I got to find out. Why do you think... I
got
to take a break.
We got a budding libertarian here. I think I'm going to like this girl.
Are you a libertarian?
Maybe.
Are you a heroin addict?
No. That's not allowed.
Only on the weekends.
No.
No.
No, I'm not a heroin addict.
So where do we stop with this? Because I don't think any of it should be legal. When I say legal, you know, because alcohol, once it became a moneymaker, it became, you know, and became legal, and then became controlled.
Let me put it this way. I don't think people should be jailed or punished for drug addiction or possession. I think they should be rehabilitated.
Okay, now I agree with that. Now that I agree with. I do not think people should be convicted because they are drug users.
But
I do think that people should have the option of being rehabilitated. But turning everything legal,
that would put the drug cartel out of business, and the drug cartel is an evil, violent thing.
No, all it did, look at the lottery. The lottery is all, it was always illegal, and they used to call it the bug or the numbers,
mm-hmm.
until the government took it over and called it the lottery. Now everybody's playing, billions of dollars are being made, and now Oh, it's a good thing.
Well, the lottery's a tax on the poor and the stupid.
And what do you think that drugs will be?
Well, that's true. That's true. If you look at education, let's go to tobacco.
He's got a good point.
Educated people don't smoke.
Okay, so let's look at this.
And educated people don't play a lottery.
Let's just really look at this. Look at where the market, because we were talking about marketing when we first came up. I've got to take my break. But let's look at this. Where is all the marketing for beer, alcohol, and smoking? You'll find it in lower socioeconomic communities. And they pour it in there.
Mm-hmm.
High people don't become rocket scientists. High people don't become, you know, academically, you know, yeah, they might have smoked some pot along the way, but you can't be high and be
may
in class and try to become a nuclear scientist. I'll be right back. You're listening to
May I interject?
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mark Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingley Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingley offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingley, it's not clean. Kingley Hand Wash and Wax.
Live weekdays from noon to 3. Listen to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that covers the valley issues that matter to you. Global topics and news of the day. Afternoons with Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce, the full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
I'm Harper Keegan with your headline news. In Youngstown, the funding is available for several roadway projects happening next year. The city's District 6 Public Works Integrating Committee recently met to go over a list of upcoming construction work. More than $8.5 million is set for projects like bridge replacements and the repaving of several streets. a big technology company could be moving into downtown Youngstown. The Ohio Job Creation...
The women of Warren and the surrounding areas now have a choice for affordable glamour. Charlie's Consignment Boutique on East Market Street in Warren has a fine selection of reasonably priced women's clothing, as well as clothes for men and children. You'll also find a great selection of shoes for everyone. Our consignment shop stocks jewelry and accessories and cosmetics by Mary Kay. Charlie's Consignment Boutique in Warren. Call 330-766-5778 now to schedule a complimentary facial. 408 East Market Street in Warren.
Ivy Woods Manor offers rehabilitation for people with congestive heart failure. They use state-of-the-art equipment to provide muscle-building exercise without putting stress on your heart. This will help you recover faster and get you back home as soon as possible. They will assist you with home care services and continue to follow your progress to help you remain in your home safely. To learn more about Ivy Woods Manor, visit us at ivywoodsmanor.com or call 330-549-3939.
At Legacy Financial Strategies, we know you want to retire with the comfort and security of knowing exactly how much you can spend in retirement, and that each and every dollar of retirement income will be there when you need it. We know you want to sleep at night and have your retirement lifestyle unaffected by today's economic news. We know you don't want to outlive your retirement assets or become a burden to your family and loved ones. We know you want a step-by-step process designed to help you feel confident in your decisions. We specialize in lifetime income planning. We have been helping our clients for over 40 years, offering the confidence that a prudent strategy can help provide. Let us help you. Visit our website at leavealegacy.com to learn more. That's leavealegacy.com. Or call us at Legacy Financial Strategies at 800-264-4963. That's 800-264-4963. You'll be glad you called. I guarantee it.
Trying to sell your old car? Instead, donate your vehicle to Heritage for the Blind. Pickup is free and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-953-4036. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats, whether they run or not. Call right now and receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to over 50 locations. Call 1-800-953-4036. Donate your car today. That's 1-800-953-4036.
We're back with Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM, 347-945-5229, or toll-free 1-800-530-WSOM, online at tracyandfriends.com or 600WSOM.com. Now, here's Tracy.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. Merry Christmas, everyone. We are like, 7 days? Christmas Eve is in 7 days?
7 days.
And it's a countdown?
Mm-hmm.
And are you ready, Six?
No.
Annie, are you ready?
No.
No? Why are you guys not ready?
Didn't buy anybody anything yet.
I'm so proud of my niece.
What'd she do?
You know what she asked for Christmas?
What?
22 shells. I am
bang,
so proud
bang.
Of my niece. We're bringing them up right out there.
Six. Yeah. Are you talking about gun shells?
Yeah, absolutely. She wants a brick of 22 shells for Christmas.
How old is she?
14.
Isn't that too young?
No.
What do you think, Annie?
It's never too young to learn properly. I don't think she's going to, like, go play with a gun alone in a giant field full of targets.
No, her gun has her rifle isn't in her room, or she's not allowed to have it without proper supervision.
She's been taught how to like properly care for it and use it safely, right?
Yeah, you know, I'm starting to really like this girl.
Thank you.
Libertarian, well, gun toting. Where'd you find her?
I can't tell you that. That's a secret. I can't tell you the people that I know.
Okay.
It's like Sesame Street.
Oh, is it?
It's the people that you meet when you're walking down the street.
Oh, okay. I thought it was
it's
more
the
like
people that you meet each day. You don't know that song, do you? You've ever heard that song?
People in your neighborhood?
Yeah. These are the people in your neighborhood.
In
your neighborhood.
In
your
neighborhood.
Yeah, these are the people in your neighborhood. It's the people that you meet when you're walking down the
street.
It's the
people that you meet each day.
See, there you go. What? Hi, Brown.
Hi.
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 Whatever happened to learning how to play an instrument or something? What's wrong with like a violin or a saxophone or something? A gun?
Plenty
of people do that.
Well, she plays. Yeah,
I think
plays,
I'm just a city boy.
She plays the horn too. I forget.
Good. Good.
Coronet
good.
Or trumpet or something.
Well, she does it all.
I mean,
do you realize that people who are musicians are better academically?
Oh yeah.
It teaches you math.
It teaches you discipline.
Mm-hmm.
And they're taking it out of school.
Well, so but so do the shooting sports teach you discipline.
What?
They would never teach riflery in schools. That would never.
Yes,
apply.
They did. When I went to school, yes, when I went to school,
really?
every freshman took the hunter safety course when I was in school.
It was a part of gym class.
Yes.
But you used
ago.
To also grow weed. You lived in another period.
No, we never grew weed intentionally.
Where's my time machine?
You grew
no,
hemp.
No, we didn't grow hemp on my daddy's farm.
He said World War II.
In World War II, they did.
Hey, South Carolina, how are you? Mike? I ain't crazy.
843. That's South Carolina area code. That's the same one the in-laws got.
He that's what he does. He brings it up, pushes the button, and then leaves. Why?
I don't know.
Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600. And we are having an open mic until 2 o'clock. I've got a friend in studio. She's going to be hanging out with me. She is a college student, and she is going to be interning with me for the next couple days until she's going to be running back to school saying, I want to change my major. I've worked with Tracy, and she's wacky, and this is not for me. I see it coming in our future. And so she's in studio with me, and her name is Annie. And we haven't found a name for her yet, so if you guys find, I think she's going to become my little
orphan Annie.
No.
Oh goodness.
No. My little let me see.
Protege.
She's a little. Nope. Little.
I'm a legal midget.
No. This is called. She is
no,
our
she's...
little libertarian. So we're going to call her LL.
LL.
Little libertarian. Because you're almost libertarian.
We can just
aren't
call
you?
Her L.
Socialist.
You're sure in the
we
right.
We got to talk about your friend.
Yeah.
Face.
You're not a, huh?
I just say she's sure in the right place.
Now, why would you say you're more of a, you like Obamacare?
I do. I like
really?
Parts of it.
Really?
Well, my younger brother has moderate autism, and for years and years, we couldn't find an insurance company that would cover us. For years and years, when I was in high school, I didn't have insurance. Nobody in my family did, because no insurance company would cover my little brother. It's a pre-existing condition, autism. And
but wasn't he on Medicare?
No, because...
Why?
Because
of the income, of the family income.
Yeah, we don't have income problems. We just couldn't get an insurance company to accept him.
They wouldn't cover it under an exclusion?
Well, they covered it beforehand because my father had a job that gave us free health insurance. But when my father passed away, we lost that.
And no one would pick it up?
No one would pick it up.
And there was no money
to... Insurance.
And I'm assuming the income wasn't there to pull through with the Cobra coverage.
No, because Cobra is October, you might as well go and buy a hospital.
But I thought that because we my wife has a pre-existing condition.
Not like that.
And I thought they changed the law in the 90s or the 80s so that as long as you never broke the chain,
no,
you couldn't be.
You're right. As long as you never broke the chain, but you had to go straight into COBRA. And if you look at COBRA, you might as well go buy a hospital.
I paid COBRA.
COBRA is
high. I paid COBRA.
But you had the resources to do it. If you don't have the resources to do it, and if something happens suddenly, like death, that's no joke.
Well, I understand that.
Serious
business.
So trying to fill that gap and then having and getting insurance in between, that'll hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Because even when I got diagnosed with MS, by the time when they gave me the premium price, I might as well go out and buy a doctor and have my own personal physician.
I can see that. See, I think there needs to be a Lloyd's of London for catastrophic conditions. Some type of a Lloyd's of London type insurer where, and I don't want to say government because I'm really against government being involved in this at all, but some place where all the insurers pay into a Lloyd's of London type scenario where you can go and basically get a subsidized policy, but private subsidization.
But you have to realize that...
That's basically the same thing now, except
no.
You just replace Lloyd's of London with the government.
But this is my issue. They should have reformed insurance companies and required them to make it affordable health care and not reform the health care industry in its entirety.
I don't think health care should be a business. I don't think it should be for profit. The people that own insurance companies are... few, they are far between. They are very rich, very powerful, and they are very greedy.
But see, you said the medical. See, the difference is insurance is for profit.
Some insurance is for profit. Blue Cross Blue Shield is
most
not
insurance
nonprofit.
For profit.
But the only thing nonprofit means is I don't carry a whole lot of money going forward. And most of your hospitals have a profit and a nonprofit side to them,
right?
So they can get all the money. But your insurance companies. Those are all for profit, majority.
What's
and
the young
they
lady?
Make sure they get their money.
The
and they control
lady,
everything.
What's
yeah, go ahead,
name?
Brown.
Annie.
Young lady, what's your name?
Annie, but we're going to call her L.
Oh, this is your protege, but she has. Well, you stand firm, Annie, because there's a guy around here that comes around that co-hosts the show with Tracy, and his name is Jeff, and he's gonna hold your feet to the fire for your views, but you seem to be able to support and have good reasoning for the things that you say, so.
I don't know face. Everything.
You understood that for you and your family that this health care law would benefit you. And
well, here's the thing, though. She didn't say the entire South.
South. That's
hold
South.
Her. Who's that?
That's South Carolina.
Who's that? Whoa. I called him up a long time ago. What? Hello?
Tracy, I apologize.
Hello?
Today
Hello?
Is the last day for...
Okay. I hear something in my ear.
You
it sounds
voice.
Like it's from the South.
Noise.
Hello?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hello.
Go ahead, South Carolina. How you doing?
I'm
not. Okay.
Fine.
Go
but
ahead, Toys for Talk.
The issue that we're having here is we could have put in a provision for catastrophic illnesses. We could have put in a provision that would require businesses to accept pre-existing conditions. We didn't have to go in and reform everything. I don't get it. I mean, you know, it's almost like there was an ulterior motive to destroy the whole entire healthcare system, just so they can get what the ultimate goal is. I mean,
who are you talking about? As far who's they? The insurance companies or the government?
No, the people that wrote the people that wrote the law.
The people that wrote the law are basically it's a collusion between the insurance companies and the government. The
no,
aid that worked
well,
for...
No, it was not.
Yes, it was.
No, it
the
was not.
Insurance companies...
Focus, I can speak with facts.
I don't care what you speak with. I'm telling you. It was not the insurance companies.
It was the big three or four insurance companies.
Which are insurance companies, okay?
No,
what happens to the insurance companies if you have single payer? What happens to the insurance companies when you have single payer? They don't exist anymore. They've basically been legislated out of business.
But there's this law, I brought this up yesterday, this law has backdoor single payer in it. And since Brown's been coming on, he's been challenging me. I've been doing a lot of thinking. And I've developed a theory, Brown, and you can tell me if you think we're on the right track. I think what we're doing is we're developing a two-rail parallel operating system, one being fascism, one being socialism. The fascist part is big business and the government colluding, and the socialism part being they throw all of the expense onto small business, including small banks. And then the socialist part is they tax small business, small banks, small insurance companies, and they have a large block of a large voting block, the 47%ers.
I think you're doing too much conspiracy.
Yeah, no, I can simplify the socialist part. The socialist part is that you've got government subsidies for people of a certain income. And yes, I'll be brief, even though Tracy doesn't care. Max Baucus, who put the first bill out there that didn't float, okay, I think he's a senator of Wyoming or Montana, his main assistant, and they show pictures of her whispering in his ear during a committee meeting. She was an executive that worked for Health Net 18 months before. These people float in and out and back and forth. So the health insurance company's interests were protected.
But let me say this, and I've done some study, and if you want me to bring it up, there are a lot of people. All industries have special interest groups in them where they're going to be the big, so they become too big to fail. And there are certain people that win when they're just a small fraction of them, and everybody else loses no matter what. And yeah, you had some government people with this, but they got into the ear of some progressive liberals, and they came up with this idea, and they're progressives. And a couple of insurance companies, including
Zeke Emanuel.
Emanuel, thank you.
Sorry,
they came
else.
Together and they came up with this right idea, and they put it together and they made it work. And let me say this, and I'll pull up the other callers that are coming in. It's the same thing that's going on with the green energy and the oil and coal and clean energy. You have a company out of Russia that has helped fund the clean air
anti-fracking.
Anti-fracking.
Gazprom is funding anti-fracking groups.
So you got a group of people who are funding a group of people here. You don't see them, but you see them. And so they're the face of this anti-fracking, we're going to make everything clean so that they can profit for their own agenda. And it's the same thing that's happened with the health care reform. Because our health care did not need reform. Our insurance needed reform. And what they did was they reformed health care and not insurance. They never capped the insurance companies on what they would pay people, what they would charge people. If they wanted to do anything, all they had to do was open up free trade amongst the states.
Yep. And what they did was they created a law that made the insurance companies buy me a Porsche when I wrecked my 87 Chevette. And I have to pay the premium to cover it.
And so everyone needs access to affordable health care, and no one should be penalized for pre-existing conditions, and everyone should be able to be taken care of for, as they need. They never educated people on medical savings plans.
Right.
They never educated people on anything else. They just said, here, come here, get it free. And what is happening is it's not free because they never dealt with the elephant in the room, which was the insurance companies. A31, your mic is on. Diva, you're next.
Hi, Tracy.
Hi, Bonnie.
I have my own theory, too, that we don't talk about much on the health care. We know it's not affordable, and we know what we've been told is not true, but I really think that there are some people who have what we've referred to on this show as Cadillac healthcare, and those individuals and the companies that represent those individuals are connected to the unions. And we don't ever talk about that. And if you notice, a lot of the people who, really none of this affects are those who became exempt, and they have children with autism, they have people with MS, they have people with cancer, but they're not being affected. And I just, want to know what you guys think about that particular healthcare situation. You know, those people
again, I want to throw this in, and I've got about 4 minutes to do it. Think about this. I had a cousin, and the young lady was born with birth defects, and she was completely handicapped. She had to have heart surgery within hours of being born, and she had cerebral palsy. All that tied together, she was a handicapped young lady who was very ill, but she was only supposed to live for 6 months, and she lived 23 years.
Mm-hmm.
Her mom, who was a single mother who was working, was a nurse. She made too much money to get assistance,
mm-hmm,
and too little money for care,
which is
a conundrum.
Which goes to my Lloyds of London plan.
But whether it be Lloyds of London, but what I'm saying is, if she had been poor, and I met someone not too long ago who has MS, and she had to quit her job so her husband would get the care that he needed, because as long as she was working, they couldn't get care. That doesn't make sense. But what we didn't do is we didn't fix the problem. What we did was we made a catastrophe out of something that was worse.
I keep hearing, and I don't know anything about them, about these high-risk pools in certain states, because these people that are getting thrown out of their care when Obamacare takes over are saying, I was in a high-risk pool in state X. Were some states doing what you said?
No. What I'm saying is, if you were in that middle income where you were working, making $40,000 a year, and you only had two people or three people in your house, and if you had two people working, you couldn't afford the lift, the hovers. I mean, trying to retrofit a van so that you can put a wheelchair in it is highly expensive. But what we did was we messed up the whole system trying to take care of some, instead of just having common sense and making sure that if you have certain diseases, you can still get medical care, and yet you can still go to work, and you can take care of everyone else in your family. Why punish one because one is sick? And so right now they shot everybody in the house. Go ahead, Diva.
I just good afternoon, everyone. I just wanted to say something that Brown was speaking on concerning Jeff. I mean, we all found out Jeff is a socialist yesterday. You guys, when you talk about this health care reform and you say there was no reforms, I'm trying to figure out what do you mean by there were no reforms. The entire bill, other than the mandate, was all about reforms.
Diva. If you look at the legislation and read those 1,900 pages, you will find more minutia in the page than you will ever read anywhere else in America. There's stuff in there that has absolutely nothing to do with health care. What I'm saying is we should have made a common sense legislation. We should have had tort reform for suing doctors. We should have made it accessible to everyone who needed it. And we should have left the politics out of it. I got to go.
WSOMs.
We had a Democrat president, a Democratic Congress. I'm still confused and trying to figure out why Republicans expect Democrats to go along with everything they want. That makes no sense to me.
Let's
talk
about
it
in the green room. Are we in the green room?
Yeah.
If we have to talk about health care again today, I swear I'm going to have to go to the I'm going to stick myself in the eye. Why is this the only thing they want to talk about? There's so much stuff, more stuff going on in the world.
Because it's the only thing they feel that they really have. Well, Benghazi's gone away, so it's the only thing that really that they see the majority of the people are upset about.
No, I brought up the NSA and what the court ruled. Mm-hmm. You know about the judge really didn't really he ruled that said this is probably unconstitutional, but then he
yeah.
just his own ruling. So he just really didn't do much, you know.
Right.
You know, he really didn't do much. You're going to say he knows it's unconstitutional, but he still
like,
gave.
There's a lot of stuff going on. That case was ruled unconstitutional. Utah's criminalizing cohabitation has been ruled unconstitutional.
So many other things to talk about besides just health care, and they all have these alternative plans.
That they know could not get past conservatives in Congress. I watched that whole entire thing. I watched the whole entire thing from the beginning to the end. There were so many things that were being floated about that were being shot down by Republicans. The only reason why we got what we got now is because the Republican conservatives and Democratic conservatives, this is the only plan they would go for that they would not filibuster. This is the only plan that they could get out the Senate. Any other plan they couldn't get out. What Jeff proposed, that's a very socialist plan. Giving everybody maybe $1 million in a health savings account.
They both raise their voices so much, and if I do it, I get muted. So it's like you can't even really – you have to really be – Oh, good grief.
Oh, you can't have a debate with them because they know what they know.
Well, you know what? They're better than some hosts, but they sure raise their voice quick and tell me to calm down quick.
Yeah,
Jeff,
to me,
Comrade Jeff
time.
Proposed a socialist program yesterday because he heard it from Ben Carson.
Exactly.
And he will swear that it's not socialism.
But
Old Stinker, bless his heart, is against marijuana, but they used to grow it.
What?
I don't know if you heard that part.
No, I didn't hear that. Are you serious?
They were talking about marijuana when I came in. And you people out there in California, and I've got a little bit of information, so I spoke. And I talked about, do you really think that it's right that marijuana is classified as a Schedule I drug? It's in the same category as cocaine, heroin, and, you know, very dangerous.
If alcohol is legal and it does far more damage than marijuana,
I can't understand. I also mentioned that in my opinion, alcohol is a far more dangerous drug.
I've yet to see marijuana destroy families. I have a sister.
Alcohol can and the other drugs can too.
Yeah. I have a sister who has glaucoma, and the medication is extremely expensive, so she self-medicates with marijuana. And she has to do it illegally.
Yeah. Her and millions of others.
And it makes no sense.
Her and millions of others. But Styx knows why it's scheduled as a... Because hemp has a lot of uses. Use it in textiles, clothing, rope, and it threatens some very wealthy people's industry. So they got it classified as a... as a Schedule I drug, and he said that his father used to grow it by the, you know, acres of it when he was
World War II. You're listening to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. Listen to Tracy every weekday from noon to 3 on Newstalk 600.
Hello?
I think she was trying. I'm like, wow, she's trying to come back early. That was early. Oh, I love this.
let me be clear. When I'm in the Oval Office, call me President Barack, President Barack, President Barack. And if my critics get an attitude, I tell them to stop.
stop. I tell them to stop. I tell them to stop.
And if you need that new health care,
sign up because it's hot. Sign up because it's hot. Sign up because it's hot.
I'm Commander-in-Chief, and I'm 2 terms strong, plus I've got this health care which has got it going on. I'm a nice press with some nice drinks. See this flag pin? See my swag's clean? Affordable health care.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. I don't know how we got to health care. We were talking about marijuana. But it's open mic from now until 2 o'clock, and Six and I are in studio. Got a guest, and she's going to be with me during her school break. She's on winter break from Kent State.
Hi.
And you're going to Kent, right?
Yep.
Maine or one of the branches?
Maine. Freshman. Go Flashes.
Maine. And,
welcome, LL.
We're listening to the way we educate our young people on how to sign up for health care. I don't know how we got on health care.
That's what we mentioned in the green room.
And this is new theme song.
I told you when I first heard that. I must have never had a childhood or an adolescence, because there isn't a single age I can ever think of where I wouldn't have thought that is the most ignorant thing I've ever heard in my life.
Why would you think that? Well, you're not a hip-hop person.
Oh, my gosh, that's hilarious. He sounds
it's
just
ignorant.
Like him. No, it ain't. That's hilarious.
What about it do you find to be distasteful, Stick?
I didn't say it was distasteful. I just said it was ignorant.
Why do you think it's ignorant?
Because it's just ignorant.
No, you can't just – it just can't be just ignorant. That sounds like a polit.
Okay. Because I never had an adolescence or a childhood, and I don't have a sense of humor.
Well, that's
I don't
unfortunate.
Think it's funny.
I think it's
lighthearted.
It's
I thought
parody.
It was hilarious.
It's parody.
I don't even think it's parody. I think it's sad.
No, it is a parody.
It's sad.
It is parody,
what,
but I said it still
that
think it's...
That they're mocking the office of the president of the United States? Is that what's
no,
sad about
no,
it?
No,
no. This was put out by...
No,
by
no,
to promote it.
It's put out to promote people to sign up for health care reform. And I think it's sad that we have to stoop to that type of entertainment to get people's attention.
Wait a minute. Did you guys have a problem with that Uncle Sam ad that was against health care?
Huh?
I don't know what
I'm talking about.
The ad that was against Obamacare, the one with the Uncle Sam rising up between the female patient's legs with that...
I didn't see that, Diva.
I never saw that.
I understand what you're saying.
That even sounded distasteful.
Yeah.
Uncle Sam should not be coming up out of people's legs.
I think I read about that on Gawker. It was quite sexist.
What is Gawker?
Go look up. Well, they had a male patient, too. I think they had him over the table, and then a doctor comes in and snaps her glove, and then Uncle she leaves out the room, then Uncle Sam comes in. You'd have to Google it, YouTube it, or something. Me, I found it funny. I was like, this is what they did. I found it funny. I'm like, okay, well, that's how they want to go about it. It's this big-headed Uncle Sam. And I'm like, really? That's what they, okay, I found it funny.
People can find it funny. People can find it entertaining. They can find it humorous. My issue is I find it sad that we've stooped so low in America to where we have to use parody to inform people about legislation.
Okay, but... All right, it was. I thought it was parody, but you're saying it was put out by the government or an agency
It was done by Snoop, and it was in assistance to help people that are above the hip hop that are in the hip hop genre.
Yeah.
And on Facebook, you know, Facebook is a very very powerful tool.
I'm gonna finish my statement.
So those Pat Brown.
Go ahead.
Let's get this clear. I'm going to finish my statement because there are people that are listening that don't know as much as you. And so it was put out by Snoop as a way of getting information out so people would go to the website and understand that they can actually go and sign up for the Affordable Health Care Act. And if you really look at the marketing of it, because of what they're trying to do, whether you agree or disagree with it, you're going to have to meet people where they are. But it's sad that you have to meet people where they are by doing a parody with the President of the United States to get them to pay attention, to know that there's legislation about their health care. That's what I'm saying.
I got
and
you.
That makes it sad.
Let me ask you a question. Is it any more sad than the Bush administration paying Armstrong Williams, who's a black conservative radio personality and writer, is it any more sad with them paying him $250,000 to promote No Child Left Behind among the the black world?
I don't think
like
Armstrong. Can I say this?
Black world.
Habiba, let me say it this way, because then I'll
same,
let you in.
Or is it the same
Brown. Let me Brown. Jeez. It was Armstrong Williams. I applaud him for being able to get $250,000 out of anybody to go promote something to the black community. But if they paid him to do it, they got suckered.
They should have been paying Tracy.
No. And I think Diva will agree with that, because Armstrong Williams is not what you call somebody that can carry water in the black community and get anybody to hear them.
Well,
am I wrong?
That shows how out of touch the administration is, and maybe this administration may be just as out of touch by hiring someone who's 40-something years old as Snoop Dogg when they're trying to appeal to people probably 18 to 34.
They didn't have to go hire these people.
Let me say something. Yeah, they don't have
I'm
to
sure
hire
Snoop
these
Snoop Dogg was paid for it.
These people are willing to do stuff for the president, so he don't have to hire nobody.
He ain't got to hire. The problem with this administration,
you guys
he
don't
have to hire black folks. That's the
president
problem.
Obama does things differently than the norm. If you even see how he did his campaign and how he went about that whole situation, he's just not going to be in the box when it comes to promoting stuff. And I think that's a part of his appeal, too. I mean, I get it. I'm like, I saw the video. It was slamming. I'm like, oh, my gosh, that's how they're going to promote. I guess I'm younger than everybody else. So,
no.
And then little Annie, I want to call her Little Libertarian because she says she's a socialist. Or I guess I'll call her LS for Little Socialist. But she's younger than me, but we're more likely in the same age demographic. It was, I mean, we get it. We're like, wow, okay, that's sweet. I get it now. It's nothing to be afraid of. So, you know, let me see what this is about. You know, even
you
my son asked
Annie?
For it.
You,
what's going
you
on?
Know, you know what Joe Biden.
Go ahead, Amy.
I didn't see the video, but I kind of think it's a cool concept. Most people my age have no idea what's the Affordable Health Care Act entails, and most of the people I hear criticizing it hate Obama needlessly. Like, I know so many people that just hate President Obama for no reason, and they couldn't tell me why they hate him. They just do, and I don't agree with that at all.
No, I don't hate him. I think his policies suck.
I just think his policies.
It's like, but if you you know. His policies suck to me, and I think they're bad for the future of America, because as libertarian or socialist as we are today, we change when I start taking your money when you get out of college and start making money.
Hmm.
And you're gonna have a hard time with me sitting at home watching my 50-inch television while you go to work.
Little socialist, don't pay them no mind.
When you start making your $100,000. And when you get your check and you find out that you've only brought $50,000 home because the other 50% went to me, and I'm doing a sitting at home watching Scandal reruns, you're going to have a hard time with that.
But 50% didn't
go to someone sitting at home watching Scandal reruns.
But you won't be upset with the huge defense company, the huge defense contractors that, you know, that have $45,000 toilet seats, or you won't be upset.
But you know
Call me Beasley.
I'm not going to call you Beasley. I ain't never called you Beasley. That ain't never
like
happened. I ain't
Beasley.
Never called you that.
Why are you
I'm
being
sorry.
So hardcore
I'm not
going to
do that.
You're gonna,
because I've been on vacation.
Welcome
to the Tracy Show, LS. Buckle up your seatbelt.
I ain't never called you Beasley. I'm not going to start today.
But that's what I prefer to be called.
I can't help that.
All right then, Winbush.
There you go. See? That's my name.
not a problem, Winbush. But,
I don't mind.
But LL, remember to be just as upset with the military-industrial complex that has wars that are unnecessary, that spend trillions of dollars, and all of the fat and all of the waste that you see in the defense industry. And go over
listen,
the entire and go over the entire budget.
But,
so be upset wow, with all be upset
wow,
with all of them.
At, look at listen. You know what? I know. I read over the weekend where the NSA, one of the judges says that the spying of the NSA it was unconstitutional.
Right. The bulk email. I will say this.
I have a problem with a lot of defense contracts because I know it's a part of a good old boys network. Don't get me wrong with that. And the more educated people become about the system and the processes, the better we will become as Americans. But when you dumb down, marginalize, and keep people ignorant about everything, the less questions they ask, the more defense contracts will be blown.
The more waste is going to happen all over the place.
But if once I understand how much power I have of being a United States citizen, and once I learn how to move the wheels of our democracy, that means I can become a major participant of it. What's happening today is we are – the 47% that we're always talking about with Romney's 47%, those people have become the people who have become the uninformed voter. If you are a socialist and
God bless
if
you.
She says she's a socialist and she believes that socialism is the way to go, then she and I can have a very, very good conversation mm-hmm. about what I believe and what she believes as long as she knows why she is who she is and what she believes. The problem is when you think that you are something and you're not.
Right.
If you don't mind writing a paycheck and saying I want to give all my wealth to the poor and I believe in redistribution of wealth for this, that, and the other, that's why I admire Nelson Mandela. I may not like his practices.
Or his politics.
His politics or how he got it.
But he stood up
right.
for it.
But he knew what he believed, and he stood up for what he believed, and he moved forward with it.
But
the problem
a lot
with Americans
of
today.
Tracy, you're starting to sound like a politician talking right now. You're not running
that's
for office.
That's not a politician.
You
no,
really
that's
do
real.
Sound
that's
like just, a politician, Tracy.
But that's real.
Why do I have to say to you why I vote or agree with certain policies? Who are you that I need to explain myself to?
Because
I'm just
even,
saying.
If you believe what you believe, then that's fine for you to believe what you believe. The problem is when you believe what you believe and don't know what you believe based upon misinformation.
And don't know why.
Most people are looking at their own personal situation and taking from
no,
their
no,
own.
They're not.
No, they're not.
No,
they're
not.
No,
they're not, Diva.
Yeah,
example,
they are.
For example, I would go along
no.
with Brown on cutting the defense budget. I'd cut the defense budget in half. I'd buy 10 more Trident submarines, load them with nuclear weapons, and bring everybody home and say, don't screw with us.
Yeah, people need, I mean, but you have to realize, Diva, you're giving people too much credit. People call
no,
themselves
I think
Democrats
you don't give
that have never read the
people
platform.
Enough credit. I think that you think a lot of people like us who just vote
Diva,
blindly because they can't articulate to you why they vote a certain way. But even if they do tell you in the simplest terms, you would still think that they don't
Diva,
know why that they're voting
Diva,
why
Diva,
they're
you,
voting.
Hold on, sweetie. Listen, if you go out on the street and ask five people, name the Speaker of the House, and tell me who can who, no, no, Diva, hold on. Diva, hold
right.
on, hold on. No. When I go, I'm around too many people, and they don't even know that the Congress is made up of the House of Representatives and the United States Senate. And if you don't realize that the Republicans are in control of the House and the Democrats are in control of the Senate, if you don't realize that, then you have a problem because you don't know what you believe.
That has nothing to do with me voting for a certain particular ideology. That's
but,
just
for,
me being ignorant of how our government operates.
For
as
example,
far as
Diva.
That.
You can't tell her nothing.
Diva, for
yeah,
example,
I can't,
you've said you voted a certain way. Now, wait a minute. Now, just hang on. Let me finish my statement, then you can rebut me. For example, you said you vote a certain way because the private sector has never been there to help you. But the other day you also said you've never applied for assistance from a charitable hospital. You've never went to any place and asked for assistance. You just went straight to the government. Is that true or untrue?
No, that's not true. I said I don't know any charitable hospitals here in Columbus.
So you've never done the research. The only thing you know is to go to the government. Is that what you're saying?
No, because I'm getting assistance from a foundation also, but not for my medical care, but for other stuff.
Let me say it this way.
I don't know if there's not that many hospitals down here. So
let me say it this way, and honestly, let me put it this way. The majority of people, Republican, Democrat, Libertarian, Socialist, all of them, as a matter of fact, I can even break that into religions, have no idea in what they say they stand on and or believe or what their platform is or what their belief or doctrine is.
And
yes, Annie?
For both Republicans as well as Democrats.
Didn't I just say that?
I don't know.
Except for the Tea Party. They just did a scientific study. The Tea Party knows more about science than the average person.
But the Tea Party knows more about, but they don't know how to get, they don't know, but
they
don't
know how to get from A to B.
They don't know how to get to the bathroom with the sign on the door.
They've been in existence 6 or 7 years. Give them a little time.
I don't care how long they've been in existence. Seniority has nothing to do with knowledge.
My point, what I was trying to make, is that they've only been existing 6 or 7 years. So trying to develop a platform and a foothold in the political process probably is going to take a little bit longer. But they have a strong following. When I first saw what was considered the Tea Party, there were people out in the street, and they were protesting the bailout before the election in 2008. And I tooted my horn. I was against the bailout. I thought the bailout was bad. Then it morphed into something else. But that was seemed to be the original issue that the Tea Party was formed on. They were against the bailout.
But they are the Tea Party still, no matter how you slice it, they still don't know. People are a part of the Tea Party not knowing what the Tea Party is all about.
The Tea Party really isn't a party. The Tea Party's trying to co-opt the Republican Party is what the Tea Party.
I have to agree with Tracy in the sense that young people are disgustingly uninformed.
People don't know.
People just don't
all
know.
People.
Oh,
all
I agree.
People.
The older you get,
they don't know. When they're older, they don't have a clue.
I'm a college student. I'm in comm. I'm supposedly going to school with the future newsmakers of the future reporters, the future writers, the future communicators, and they don't know anything, and they don't care.
And let me say this. And what they know is how to read a teleprompter. We knocked President Obama about him reading teleprompters.
Ron Burgundy.
Who's Ron Burgundy?
I'm Ron Burgundy.
Anchorman.
The Anchorman.
The Anchorman, yes.
Yeah.
But we don't know. We read teleprompters, but we don't know the news and reporting. We're not critical thinkers. We don't ask why. We don't ask why is this happening? What's behind it? And even when we go to college today, we don't teach our kids how to become critical thinkers. Why are you going into this discipline of academia?
Well,
because it makes money?
Why are you going into communication?
The education system is set up. They don't allow for you to ask why. They don't. I remember my experience. I'm always a why person, and I always bump head with teachers and professors because
they don't want you to ask why. And the number 347-945-5229. They don't want you to ask why.
They don't. They want you to buy into the system and make them money.
Pretty much. They're not in there to make you critically think.
They want you to be a sheep.
Well,
and
even I had that same problem with employers, too. I had the same problem with employers.
Employers are different. They're writing you a paycheck, so you got to do what they tell you to do.
It doesn't matter.
You get something out of it with
it does.
No, for me, I want to, if I'm dealing with customers, I want to know, or if I'm dealing with your clients, I want to know when they ask a certain question, I want to know the answer to it. I don't want to go back and say, I'll get an answer to you later. I want to know I think ahead, what type of questions these people are going to be asking, so I want to know how your business works, why you're operating this way, why your product is this. They don't want to answer those questions.
But this is the issue. When you work for me, if I'm not willing to give you the information and you're not having the information, it's going to cause me a customer. It's not your fault. It's mine.
That's right. Then you need to go quit and go find another job.
And as long as I'm paying you what I agreed to pay you,
but
if
the point
you stand there
of the matter
and pick your,
is,
there is
they
no
want
point.
You to be a sheep as well. Because they
absolutely.
Just want you to
it all depends. Good employers do not.
Absolutely. If you,
yeah,
if
they do.
Successful companies do not.
But when you go to work for companies that are highly, highly effective, they are going to listen to their employees who are actually on the front line.
That's right. I guarantee you my friend John Vincent, Genesis Consulting, doesn't do that with his employees.
There is
well,
a fine
know,
line.
And I congratulate him, but I'm just my experience.
Eva, hold up.
Go ahead.
Elle's talking.
I'm sorry. I think there's a fine line between standing up for yourself and being entitled. And I think that young people are, like, having trouble walking that line.
And it's not young people, it's people. Because adults are the same way.
I suppose I don't know much about proper adults in that respect.
We think that there's an age difference, but it's not. Because the habits that we form as young, we take into our elder years. That's why you will find adults who won't listen to young people. For some reason, they think because of their age, they know everything. And the same thing that's because of your education, there are people who will not listen to people who don't have a degree because you feel as though a person with a degree has more information, and that's not always true.
The way I was raised taught me to give respect to people that have more authority over me, but I guess that's problematic because you have to think, how do they have this authority? Is it just because they have money? Why?
It's called respect.
Yeah, but I don't know. I guess there's a fine line. Like
there is.
I don't respect politicians, and I don't respect people that got to the place that they are just because of money.
What's a politician? And I got to go back to Diva in South Carolina. Your mic is on. But let me say this. With Diva, what you're saying, but when I say this, people need to really understand when you work for me, I don't pay you to think, I pay you to work. And if I don't give you the tools to do your job, then that's my loss. But when you're going to school, you're paying me as a school for me to learn and for you to help and for me to help you with your critical thinking. That's what school is all about.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm paying for you, then I actually should be getting what I want to get out of you, because who's ever paying should be the ones who's making the rules. That's the problem.
That is so true.
But
if I'm paying you, then you ought to be giving me what I want. It's the same way with our politicians. If I'm paying my politicians, you ought to be doing the job based upon what I need, not based on what you want.
So it's okay to be a sheep in one respect, but in the other, no.
What I'm saying is, if you're paying me to be a sheep, sheep on. And I'm serious. When we come into here, this is Tracy and Friends. So I have the liberty of being able to set the tone. And if anybody doesn't like the tone, then that means they can pack up and go.
But that's
and if
different.
I don't give
Tracy, you give us a voice. It's when it gets out of control is when you train.
Doesn't matter.
You know, because it's
doesn't,
and as far,
it doesn't matter because Rush Limbaugh, he doesn't give everybody a voice and people listen in. And if you don't like it, he cuts you off. But that's his problem, his job, and that's what he does there. And everybody makes their own rules. But when people start paying people,
mm-hmm.
then I got to go and be a sheep. And if you want me to say, ba-ba, black sheep, have you any wool all day long, that's what I'm going to say. Yes, sir, in bad school. Whatever
so
it takes.
So you think Eric Snowden should not have done what he did then? Because he was getting paid to do his job.
I applaud what Eric Snowden did.
Absolutely.
And I don't agree with taking all the files that he took. and I think he was wrong in that. But I have to say, I applaud him because if he had never spoken, we would have never known.
But he was getting paid to do something. He was getting paid to just be a sheep. He was not getting paid to...
Did you hear what I said?
But he doesn't have a job now.
He was wrong, and he took a lot of files that he shouldn't have taken. Don't get me wrong.
And yeah, and
but
got,
I applaud him speaking up.
Speaking up, though, Tracy, is one thing. And I mean, there's a correct arena to do it in. But when you sell secrets to the enemy, that's treason.
But he didn't
sell
them.
Spoken up
see,
and let everybody know. Yes,
he gave
them
away.
I think he should be brought
up on treason charges. I'm sorry. He should.
But here's where you and I disagree as veterans, South, and that's I think what Snowden did was okay. I think what the WikiLeaks guy did was treason because the Snowden guy didn't stand up and take an oath, and the WikiLeaks guy did.
This is not about oath. This is just about a pledge. This is about America. What Snowden did... I said it's about America, and Americans should be Americans. But
yes.
My problem, again, with Snowden was that he took too much. And so he might be a martyr, and if you bring him up on treason or put him in front of a firing squad, I hate to see the brother die. But I have a major problem because America was spying on Americans and didn't tell America that they were spying on them.
Yeah.
If America had come out...
Not that they were not doing this stuff. You watch enough TV,
Diva,
and you
Diva.
Find truth and fiction to
Diva.
Not have
but
it in the back
did.
Of your mind that the government's
Diva.
Doing this.
I got a whole lot of stuff in the back of my mind that I believe that America's doing. But now when it becomes confirmed, and I find out that the Constitution of the United States is not being utilized in the Americas, that means I have a problem. I have a Bill of Rights. I have a Constitution, and we need to stand upon the Constitution and the Bill of Rights in America. And the day that we quit doing that is the day we shut our doors and we no longer become the United States of America, and we're almost there. I have a
Amen,
problem with
candidate
that.
Winbush. I agree.
I'm not running for nothing but the border. I have a problem with that. I have a problem with treason. But I have a problem with America, the administration, whether it be Bush who started it, or Obama who followed it.
Yeah.
They should have said, listen, you better be careful what you say because metadata will be taken and we will be watching you because we're going to try to keep America safe. And they should have made it clear and plain.
Yeah.
But don't go in the cloak of darkness spying on all of Americans. And like I said, they're not listening to your individual phone calls, but
yes.
The metadata, they don't have to. The metadata is more.
That's true.
Is
they can build a
more,
profile out of you just
they
on your
know,
metadata.
They know more about you and your shopping habits at Giant Eagle and Walgreens and your phone calls and who you talk to and who you get your information from on the Internet. Then
they
don't have to listen to your individual calls.
They know what they're doing is unconstitutional. That's why they had to do it in the dark.
It is wrong against the American people, and it should have been brought to the forefront as it has been. And
but
so I have
couldn't.
To think,
it's
they
illegal.
Could.
What they're is illegal. How can
Diva.
They bring something to the forefront
because
that they're doing?
It's not illegal if you tell it.
Then they shouldn't have done it.
No, yeah,
it
is
illegal even if they tell it.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Why is it?
Because it's a violation of the Fourth Amendment.
No, it's not.
They just found out over the weekend it's a violation of the Fourth Amendment.
Because
if you have enough money, nothing's illegal.
It's because they didn't tell you. If I tell you, listen, if I tell you,
if I tell you that I robbed you and I rob you, it's still illegal.
Was I talking? If I have a warrant and I hand it to you and I tell you,
right,
I'm going in your house, is it illegal?
But you have to go to a judge to get that
that's
warrant.
Legal.
Right. I have to have probable cause.
Right.
But that's
legal.
That's
what the metadata is all about. They don't have probable cause to take your metadata.
Yeah, hello.
Exactly.
No, they don't.
267, your mic is on.
Yeah, I just wanted to give an opinion. You were speaking about higher education in terms of what the professors are supposed to do, the way they earn their salary. I know somebody who works as an academic, and most of the professors, they're paid through the research dollars. If you're talking about the finer universities in our country, like a Harvard or a Yale or Princeton or places like that, the professors are not paid to teach students. When they select students, they think the students are strong enough academically that they'll present them with the information and they'll go out and study, because the way they grade at the more well-known colleges is they grade on the curve. So they're only going to give a small percentage of the class an A, a B, and so forth. So you have to compete with your other classmates to get your grades. And that's where most of our big institutions in our country, like the media, they're going to select their employees from these types of institutions. Now, as far as, I just want to also say, like in terms of Snowden, what he did was against the law. He downloaded over, like, I think the actual number was like over like a million documents.
It was almost more than that.
To the Chinese and the Russians. And basically, when he first went to work for the NSA, he took an oath that he was going to protect the secrets of this country. So basically, when he passed over those documents over, he basically violated his oath. So that's why, you know, he needs to come back to this country and face trial for these different charges of treason that he's currently up against.
Let me ask this. Let me see, because this is my problem. See, my problem with Snowden is, why did he give the documents to China? See, my problem is that he, instead of him just coming out and saying what he knew and showing PRISM, all the other documents that he took and other documents they tell him
were
very, very sensitive.
He didn't show them to China to start with. He went to the Guardian.
No, he went to the Guardian with his – right. He went to the Guardian.
In Hong Kong.
Right.
Outside of the United States.
So, but they say that because the Washington Post wouldn't touch it.
Right.
Yeah.
I would love to hear him talk about his motivation.
I don't think they'll let him. Go ahead, Philadelphia. Hold on, Diva.
I just wanted to say this country is under the threat of a cyber attack from China. China has a program where they can inject a certain type of a computer virus into every computer in this country and shut the whole economy down. This is the danger when you have people like this who pass off secret information that could compromise the security of this country. That's the problem. That's the reason why we can't allow these types of individuals to actually get away.
But let me say this. Let me say this, Philadelphia, and then I'm going to let Diva in. But the problem that we have is America needs to quit being dirty. The problem is America is doing dirty work on Americans, and
Absolutely.
They need to start doing the right thing.
Absolutely.
See, that's the problem. We need to go after Snowden for what he did, and, yeah, he did some stuff that was wrong and it was bad and he needs to be punished for it. Yeah. But we need to quit being disingenuous about what we do, and we need to be honest with the American public and let them know that we're in this together and quit waiting for somebody to come and bomb us for us to have this symbiotic moment where we care about one another.
See, I just think that maximum freedom is always the answer. And you know, I think it was Ben Franklin said, the people that will trade liberty for freedom deserve neither. And personally, I'll trade another terrorist attack for not being surveilled in my home.
But what I'm saying
is...
Well,
are you the one getting killed in that terrorist attack?
Don't matter. It's a freedom issue.
But see, this is
I would let everybody on an airplane carry a firearm.
Well, let me ask you this. See, I don't have a problem with the firearms on... That's gone too far. Let me say it this way. America has to go back to becoming a productive America and allowing people to stand on their own 2 feet and empowering them. Entitlements are weakening America, and people need to be empowered, and you have to have less freedom when you have a weakened nation.
Well, yeah, the more entitlements you have, the less freedom you have.
So let's really understand that. So, but you can't just say, all of a sudden, make everybody free again.
Oh, no, because that's like turning the cows loose in the woods. They'll all die.
That's what I'm saying. And not only will they die, they'll trample one another.
Right.
So you can't do that. But I was reading somewhere over the weekend, and they said that 50 years ago, 100 years ago, in America, if we had a catastrophe, you didn't have to worry about protecting your goods, because in America, everybody looked out for one another.
Right. Well, when I was a kid, we never locked our cars. We never locked our houses.
But in 2014, 2013, the reason why you have to have firearms for protection, because if something catastrophe happens in America today, because we don't care about one another, we'll kill each other.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's because America has become selfish
with
its own family.
Right. I agree. We're envious.
And so we have done that based upon marketing and based upon television and media.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want anyone else to have any more than us. But at one time, the have always gave to the have-nots.
And they still do to a large extent.
Really? In America?
Absolutely.
I don't know.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely. And
absolutely.
I'm going to take a break. I'll leave the phone lines on you.
I want to say, LS, they're talking about the frontier days. They're talking about
the
days.
I don't know how I listen to them. They're living in a different...
The Mayflower landed on Plymouth Rock.
They're living in a different age. I feel like banging my head against the wall listening to her and Jeff.
They're talking about one time another Americans gave to one another. No, they're talking about when the Pilgrims gave the Native Americans blankets filled with chicken pox.
No, well,
you can recover.
It's basically in human nature, people are going to keep the money that they earn. They're not, you know, the government has to be involved in saving people from any type of destitution they may be facing. It's not up to private
business. They don't look at
it like
that. They look at it as any government involvement happens first. That's what they're looking at. They're saying they look at it as government did this, and so business did this. But they fail to realize our government is not a proactive government. It's a reactive government. They tend to react to situations or circumstances. And sometimes they get it wrong. They go overboard. But, I mean, poor little LS, she ain't got a chance.
She's going to start doing you like you're doing me. I'm talking.
These weeks have always done that to me.
You know what? Not to knock you people in Ohio, but I know Cleveland is – everyone from Cleveland is probably crazy or some type of crazy, I think, and I've learned that. But I know that Cleveland – nothing really good comes out of Cleveland except maybe Don King.
Yeah. That's because they're isolated over there.
Cleveland's full of crazy.
They're kind
of
living in a bubble.
They're on BTR, but –
Well, the Midwest is a bubble. I mean
–
When you live on the East Coast, live on the West Coast, live in the South is a little bit more slower. But it's something about the wind. I've never understood why I got teased for living in Ohio on social sites. Now I can get it.
I lived in Cincinnati for a year on business. And there are some refreshing things about the Midwest. People are generally nicer and kinder. It's not the same type of nastiness that you can bump into on either coast. The neighbors were kind and spoke well for the most part. But people are also everything that they speak of as far as they think of the people on the left, that they're low information and they're brainwashed and this. That's what I think about the people on the right. Really, what I think about the people on the right, and they say, and on this particular show, they say so many things to contradict themselves.
Yeah.
They don't want to get it pointed out. Now,
Fox News is headquartered in Manhattan, New York, and most of the people that work there, they're probably white snobs that are living, you know, probably off Park Avenue somewhere, and they just want to talk about the minorities and the immigrants that live in the city. They want to say all types of racist and derogatory things on the air.
This is where this people's refuge. You see what people really think when you look on the net, and you'll see what a problem, you know, ethnicity and race really is.
Yeah.
Right.
You
know,
there's some people that just troll on racial stuff.
Right.
They're not involved.
I will say this. As far as the NSA goes, to me, I think we have to worry about our local police force more so than we have to worry about the government's
you got to worry about all of them. You got to worry about all of them. And I
worry about all of them, but the
right on this
moment, the biggest threat is your local police force. I mean, it's getting out of hand. You have a police officer, I think it was in Texas, who shot a student, a college student. He was off-duty security guard for the campus. He shot this guy because this guy was basically giving him back talk. Shot and killed him.
The police have been out of hand. So, I mean,
well, the problem with the police is you're not getting top quality people on the police department anymore. Most people who are of quality, they want to go to college. And if they have a college degree, they want to go into a private company. They don't want to work for the police department. So the police department is scraping the bottom of the barrel in terms of the quality of people they're getting. And then also, they're not doing the right types of psychological testing on these new recruits
You know what? I think also, even if you took college graduates or people with advanced degrees, if you gave them that much power, that it will go to their heads.
To a certain extent, but also, I think with a lot of police departments, you get a lot of unbalanced people with badges. Especially where you're dealing with like an urban area where the requirement is you have to live inside the confines of the city to actually join the police department.
I don't know what city that is. That's not Los Angeles. That's damn sure not Los Angeles.
Well, that's how it is here. You have to live inside the city of Philadelphia to join the police department in Philadelphia, and you have a lot of people who, you know, you basically have a high school dropout rate here, and so you may not have the most educated people who are living inside the confines of the city, inside the barriers of the city. So therefore, you're not getting the best people to join the fire department or the police department. Most of those people are probably living out in the suburbs somewhere.
But there's reasons for that. I know for a fact the LAPD and particularly the Inglewood Police Department would recruit in Arkansas and in Tennessee.
Right.
And they would bring the people out. It's culture shock, first off, okay?
Right.
Culture shock, and these people have their, you know, their preconceived notions, and, you know, maybe they're hard ass, but there's reasons for having people.
Well, you're back on the air, Brown.
Because they're going to have some understanding and empathy with the people.
He's not listening.
The phone.
He never does. That's why I got to pay attention to him because he won't act right.
Miss Tracy?
Hold on, Steve. The number is 347-945-5229. Go ahead, Steve. How are you?
Good, ma'am. I'm happy to hear the brother from Philadelphia on there. I haven't heard him in a while. And
What's up?
Yeah, I should tell Diva, yes, I used to live in Philadelphia, but that was many, many years ago.
I told y'all this is not the Diva hookup.
No,
hi,
I'm not,
Steve.
I'm happy to hear the brother from Philly. Oh, hi, Diva.
Steve and Diva sitting in the tree.
Wait a minute, but did y'all hear him? Oh, hi, Diva. I mean, I've been kicked to the curb for Covina, man. What's going on?
That's Philadelphia.
What's up?
Because he
seemed
pretty
popular. Good memories,
man. Oh, I'm good.
What you want, Steve?
Huh?
What you
want to say? I'm happy to hear the brother from Philadelphia talk. And,
Philadelphia, they're glad to have you back. Where you been?
Yeah, I was kind of busy.
Yeah, I don't want to get into the brother's business. I know he's busy.
I'm trying to get into his business. Where you been, Philadelphia? How have you been?
I'm all right.
What, Steve?
I think sometimes you have a contentious co-host, and Jeff, he kind of drives people away.
Jeff,
he
crazy.
Gets kind of ornery at times.
Jeff,
crazy
huh?
The same way.
No, I'm way different.
She ain't
Jeff.
As bad as Jeff. She used to be, but she's not anymore.
What do you mean I used to be?
What,
Steve?
Could I say something yet?
You better get it out quick.
To the brother in Philly, the last time I was in Philadelphia, and as I said, I used to live there, but that's almost 50 years ago. So I might not remember.
Steve, are you trying to come back from memory lane and say, remember, this is talk radio. This is not a conversation on the phone.
Okay. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
What I had to say, ma'am, is that you were talking about, I can remember those days myself when, you know, we used to be able to, people were more, trust one another more than they do today. And I guess it goes back to, you know, and I don't want to go into details about it. It just goes back to what the Bible says.
See,
well, you were saying
no.
You're saying that people are selfish today, right?
But again, this is the issue. We have created the monster in the room. We do this ourselves. It's Christmas time, and people go in debt buying stuff that they don't need and or want. But nobody cares about their neighbor next door and making sure that they can pay their light bill. Well, I mean, seriously, if you know that you've got an old neighbor, and you know that, and you've been in the neighborhood for the last 20 years, 25 years, and you know that your neighbor put Christmas lights every year, but now you know she's on a walker. Tell me how many neighbors have decided to pull together and go over to the neighbor's house and decorate the house for her.
Well, let's take it a little less than that. How many are going to send their 14-year-old son over there to shovel that lady's walk?
Just that simple. Go get her mail.
That never happens.
Yeah. Go get her mail, take her paper, and shovel her walk and shovel her driveway.
I mean, we don't
shut up and do it.
Why don't we?
If you're a Christian, you will do that.
No.
That wouldn't help anybody.
Well,
no.
Because mostly Christian people.
No. You got folks that go to church and they call themselves Christian all day long and they ain't taking out nobody's trash, ain't shoveling nobody's snow, putting up a light bulb, and you might get a Merry Christmas and a hello out of them, and they go to church all day on Sunday and they claim to be a Christian. That doesn't make you a Christian. But I'm not talking about different sects of Christianity. I'm just talking about
being a human being,
just being a nice person.
And there are people that do
out here,
there are few. There are people who do look out for others, other than themselves. I guess it depends on our upbringing.
It's not up. Again, and why are we not bringing up? I got people in my family that don't hold the door open for their aunt and grandmother behind them.
It's apathy, a lot of it. I'm too busy.
Empathy rather than apathy.
Sit up. To your mic.
Okay.
Pull your mic to you.
Okay.
Okay, yeah, there. So we can hear you.
What do you guys call Republicans that aren't really Republicans? You call them rhinos, right?
We call them rhinos. You got rhinos, dinos, and chinos.
I just thought of something when you were speaking. You can call, you know, you also have sinos, people that are Christians in name only.
That's what we said, chinos.
I didn't know there was a term. I thought I was going to coin it.
Yeah.
I mean, I think there are some people who do look out for one another. It depends, because I try to look at the good in some people.
Listen, it's far and few, and far and few between. The problem is, we used to be a whole nation of that.
Well, sometimes people do try to mind their own business too.
This is not about minding your own business; it's about being helpful to the neighbor next door. Do you realize that
is, as you have increased in immigration, you have ethnic types of communities which have developed where people who are of the same ethnic background, they look out for one another. So that's what's happening. Whereas if you are dealing with a big city, people are afraid because of crime and so forth. People are afraid to get in other people's business.
Did you hear what I said? Listen to what I said, Philadelphia. Listen to the words that came out of my mouth. See, listen to this. I said, you live next to the lady for 20 years. Her name, you know her name. You went to school with her kids. She lived right next door to you. She now broke her hip. She put up Christmas decorations every year all her life that you have been alive.
But isn't that up to her family, like her children?
No!
Yeah.
Some people are lucky enough to have...
A lot of people have relatives and... The relatives may not want you in their grandmother's home, and if you're in the home and the relatives come by, all kinds of domestic violence situations have occurred.
Excuses.
Train wreck.
No.
Especially for the elderly, the elderly are not exactly a glamorous cause, and
it's kind
I
of
think
just
that
what you
they
do.
Deserve all the support and love that we can give them.
But it doesn't matter. I mean, I don't see anybody actually coming out with a shotgun as they see you out there just shoveling your snow.
Let's just forget about the Christmas
mother might.
Let's go back to shoveling the walk.
My mother might.
No, come on. I'm going to tell you.
Let me explain. The gentleman behind me, okay, when I was on crutches when I had my tumor removed, the dog used to be in the backyard. The dog would mess with the fence. It's a wooden fence and get out. So he saw that I was on crutches and I couldn't repair it, and I'm a house full of women. He repaired it. My mother got offended.
Then your mama
your
got a problem.
No, like he needed to mind his own business.
You know what? Listen,
so there are some people out
Miss
there.
Diva, there are some people, but the majority of people in America
know the word thank you.
If you take my trash cans or you start shoveling, you got a shovel on the coldest day of the year, and I see you out there with a shovel and you blowing my snow, and I know you the neighbor next door, I promise you I ain't going to pull out my shotgun and start shooting in the air talking about get
out
my yard.
That might be true. Hello. That might be true in the state of Ohio, but that's not true if you live in a big city.
Y'all need to get a grip in the big city.
No, it's a different mentality.
That might happen in Ohio, but that doesn't happen in a place like New York or Philly.
Okay, now hold on. Brown and Philadelphia, you guys are in the bigger cities. When I lived in Los Angeles, for some reason, when we had that earthquake, that when the freeway dropped in, I want to say, 94.
That was 94, the Northridge quake.
That's right.
I was in Cincinnati then, but go ahead.
But guess what? Well, I was in Los Angeles then. And I lived
I owned
not
a
too
home
far
there,
from
but go ahead.
I wasn't too far from the 10 freeway when it dropped. And I saw neighbors coming out, and I didn't see anybody caring about who they were and what they were going to do, because we were pulling people out, we were helping people out of their homes, and we were making sure that everybody was all right. And no one asked any questions. As a matter of fact, on 9/11, there was strangers helping strangers down steps for 100 and some hours. I'm sorry, for an hour and a half, trying to come from the top floor down.
Now that's
why
an extreme,
is it that we got to blow something up, tear something
emergency.
Up to be nice to people?
Yeah.
That's an extreme emergency. Let me share a story real quick. I was in New York City. I was going to visit my grandmother in the hospital on the Upper East Side. As I was coming out of the subway, there was an elderly lady with, like, suitcases, and she was at the stairs. So I went over there and said, and put my hand on the suitcase and said, let me help you carry him up the stairs, right? This woman tore into me with language that I couldn't repeat on your show. It would definitely get an FCC fine. Tore into me, and I was like, wow.
That's
unbelievable.
More personal.
And when I told the New Yorkers about it, they were like, well, what did you touch her bag for? I said, it's
but
a old lady. And like,
that was too personal. I'm not going to let you carry my bag, but this
is
something
different. What it is the difference between the city and more rural areas.
No, it's not. Brown. You didn't listen to the story. You can't hear.
Why would you let one crazy lady spoil your desire to do kindness
others? What's wrong with saying I'm going to pay for the person's meal who's standing behind me at Burger King?
See, I think what's happening is you're speaking from a perspective of Ohioans and their culture.
And y'all need to move.
But when you deal with East...
because when my daughter moved to Wyoming, daughter lived in Wyoming by herself.
I mean, you're dealing with different kinds
of
people.
She'd come home while her snow'd be blowed. It took her 6 months to figure out who was blowing her snow.
What? I mean, and let me see. It's not about just Ohio. I mean, if you're in the big city, okay, I wouldn't grab somebody's bag and say, let me carry them unless I asked you first. But then there's nothing wrong with saying, listen, I'm going to pay for the person's meal that's behind me, and you keep the change.
That kind of stuff doesn't happen in the big city.
I want to go back to the snow shoveling.
But my question is, who is going to fight you paying for my meal at a restaurant? Or looking over at the table and saying, listen, I want
to... Well, if somebody needs that type
there.
Of assistance, they have to go to a soup kitchen.
You
they have to go to a shelter and get
food. Why can't you just be nice? No, I didn't say they needed it. I'm just saying being nice to people.
But people are not nice to people if they're in a big city.
Come out of you being kind. That's positive energy that comes back to you in some way.
And I got to take a break. I'll be right back.
I get all kinds of random acts of kindness. I don't know what they're talking about.
I don't either. I can't tell you.
I've been in Columbus. Columbus is actually a nice-looking place. When you drive across country, Columbus is one of the nicer-looking places. Got some hood areas as well. I'm tired of her telling me no when I'm telling my story. I'm trying to help the damn old woman upstairs. Not like I'm going to steal her bag, you know. Not going to steal her suitcase. Woman's fucking crazy. They got crazy-ass people in the city. In the city, you mind your business. You know,
well,
you mind
your
like
business,
John said, you mind your business. You don't get involved in people's shit. She's never been crazy. Obviously.
Wait. I know you're upset. Come on, the language. Man, I heard the F word. That's just my poor ears. I can't take it.
Oh, give me a break.
I cannot.
You really don't like curse words?
No, I don't. It just does.
I'm sorry. I blame it on my heart, not on my head. I'm just feeling comfortable that I don't think that I'm on the air.
Well,
you
I
really
must
can't
say,
be like
you're
that
very good at composing.
You wouldn't make it in the big city, right, John? Everybody curses.
Everybody curses.
Yeah.
And if you go doing random acts of kindness to strangers, somebody's going to mug you and try to rob you or do something to you. If you live in a place like New York City or Los Angeles,
you didn't listen to
Chicago.
You didn't listen to Grace's premise. It's somebody that knows you for 20 years. Your neighbor.
Yeah, that's different. In that case, someone
that's a different story. That's a different story.
But that's
it's a totally
all Tracy
different
said. And then
thing random about
starts
that.
With all this random act of violence stuff.
That exists, too. What I was going
to
say is this.
You don't
in New York City, and I'm sure it happens in Philadelphia, you don't see it in Los Angeles because you don't have people walking in the street. If someone can fall down in the street and be having a heart attack right there, there are going to be people in the Manhattan that are going to walk right over the body.
Right.
That is so crazy.
Seen that before.
Because people are afraid. People are afraid. People don't know who you are.
They
could have AIDS or something. They don't know who that person is. So what they're going to do, they're going to call a paramedic and have a paramedic
right
take
now,
care of you.
There are hundreds of thousands of people walking in the street Manhattan right now, and you walk,
you
but
know.
No one makes eye contact.
I get what you're saying, because there are people out there who just, I mean, the environment, the society we live in, it's more of a tuck your head down, put your cap over your eyes, put your coat around, you don't see nothing. If you pretend that you're not aware of anything, then you don't have to do anything. All you have to do is watch what happens now with the show Watch What Happens. What would you do?
Were I watched you, it last night.
You see how people don't get involved. They set up all these scenarios that can happen in real life, and you see how people don't get involved.
Want to know something? They applaud people. He pats people on the back for getting involved in stuff they shouldn't get involved in. You might could say something, but people take a stand. Now, I watched the show last night when they did the scene with the woman. I don't know if you saw it last night, but it was particularly good. It almost got me. It got me a little bit misty. I just tell the truth that the people were going to help that woman and the two children buy the Christmas tree when they only had a $25 budget and the kids wanted a nicer tree. People do kind things, and it's unfortunate they only have to do them. They only do them around the holidays.
Yeah,
but it's a different culture living in the city.
Right, it's a different culture. I mean, the urban culture is different than the Midwestern culture. Two different cultures.
As I was going to say, even living in the city, because I lived in Youngstown, which is one of the bigger cities in Ohio, because we don't really have many, I still had random acts of kindness. I mean, I ran out of gas, and young men would help me pull my vehicle over to the side, go to the gas station and get the gas for it, bring it back, put it in my car.
He was probably looking at your I haven't seen you in person, but he was probably looking at probably how tall you were and your appearance.
Short.
But I guarantee you, he's not going to do that to every other person he sees.
But it didn't matter. He did it
men can be particularly kind to a damsel in distress.
Right,
that's
yeah. So, like, if he's dealing with
show.
A female who appears small in stature, he's probably going to go out of his way to help you. But if he's dealing with a man who's his same size, he doesn't know him, he's not going to do it.
I've even done random acts of kindness.
Hey,
I mean, I dropped my mother off at work, and it was like almost blizzard conditions outside, and I saw this young man, and all he had on was a light coat, and he was walking in all this snow. Now, I didn't want to give him a ride because I'm like, you know what, I don't know him, you know, but I took the risk, and I did, and I took him past my house towards the north side and had to come back the any other direction. And he said, wow, thank you. No one's ever been kind to me. And I said, all you have to do is pay it back. So,
yeah, and that ended up being her third husband.
No, that I wish, no. I'm still trying to look for my second, Mike. Brian, what are you talking about?
Well, you ain't going to find anybody worthy of you on this call. I will tell you that right now.
Oh, I know. Oh, no, I don't know. I don't know. Beasley. I don't know.
I think Beasley, because Beasley's the thinker, and you want a man who will think first and then beat on you. Oh, I am so wrong.
Oh, man, Mike, you are one of the funniest guys I know.
Oh, sweetheart, life is a laugh, isn't it?
Can't
laugh, you know, I'm taking a break right now. I woke up, I had to start my day 2 hours earlier than normal this morning because I had to deal with a German distributor of ours and a big screw-up over the weekend. And you know, my day started out pretty stressful, but, you know, it's like, who cares? You know what I ask myself all the time? 100 years from now, is anybody really even care about what I did today? And the answer is most likely no, so don't stress over it, you know? Friends of mine who do a lot of work with Alzheimer patients, they've taught me that, and we've had several family members go that way, and they told me, whatever you're into at the moment, use the five-minute rule. If what you're trying to explain to them really isn't going to matter in 5 minutes, just let them think whatever they want.
Oh, that's a good point right there. That's a wise life.
That was a lot of wisdom there. And you know what? I took the five-minute rule into the rest of my life. If what we're going to
Except when you get on this about, show.
Yeah, until we hit this show, and then it's like, we better do the five-year rule here.
Dressed up like Eskimos. Everybody knows. A turkey and some mistletoe help to make the season bright. Tiny tots with their eyes all aglow will find it hard to sleep tonight.
Hey, we're back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600. The number 347-945-5529. Tonight, Abe marks this down. Starting in January, we will be coming on here at WSLM. We'll be coming on from 9 until noon. So if you're listening to us here on WSLM and you want to hear Tracy and Friends, you're going to have to tune in a little bit earlier. Hang out with us a little bit earlier because we're going to be coming on a whole lot earlier. And I think it's going to be a wonderful thing for us to do that. And it's going to start on January the 6th.
That means our West Coast friends got to listen to us at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
You know, early to rise.
Early to bed, early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise.
We're going to miss out on Beasley.
You know, Ben Franklin said that, but he was a notorious insomniac.
But he really didn't know what he was talking about, did he?
Yeah, he was a hypocrite. He was weird.
He wasn't weird.
He yeah,
made
he
things
was.
Happen.
I mean, I didn't say weird was bad.
Is weird good?
Yes.
Okay. You know, during the break, is it little L or a little S, Diva?
L-S.
L-S? Little
yes.
Socialist.
Yes.
No, I can't. No, because she can't be a socialist. I'm going to change all that.
Hey, she said she is. I'm going with she said she is. So.
I know, but my goal is to change her before she leaves here. She doesn't know that.
By the time she gets out of here, I'll have her reading Ayn Rand and being a libertarian.
Oh, goodness. I couldn't get through Ayn Rand with all the Adderall in the world. No.
Oh. You know what? That's why they make movies. Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. I've got a guest that's going to be coming on. I don't know when they're going to call in, but when they do, we're going to be kind to them. We're going to talk about compressed natural gas for a few minutes when they come on. They're going to have a station coming here where Deering Compressor is, which is right next
Midlothian
door to
Boulevard.
Me.
Midlothian Boulevard.
Which is right next door to me. So hopefully I'll be able to afford a compressed natural gas conversion
car
on my truck and or go buy a new truck. So that I can make that happen, because I really want that. You know that, right, Sticks?
Yep.
That's Sticks. Hey guys, I got a Christmas gift from Sticks, and I want to thank him for my Christmas gift. But Sticks, I want to know why you didn't give me a Christmas gift and just convert my truck to compressed natural gas.
I like you, but not that much.
Burn.
considering the conversation here on the
show,
we didn't
friends,
need
but not
anymore
$6,000, friend.
What'd you say, Mike?
I said, considering the conversations on the show sometimes, we didn't think you needed any more compressed gas.
Oh. Mike.
Oh.
Mike.
I'm included in that. I'm included.
Mike. This is not Matt. Listen, this is not Matt Mason Day. I got a client that I'm trying to sign up, and he says, I listen to your show, and he said, out of all the days that I can listen, the day that I listen, you guys are talking about flagellants and bowel movements. He said,
huh?
I don't understand.
When was that?
Matt Mason. What else?
Oh.
Well, that's
God.
Why I'm glad about your new time slot from 9 to noon. I'll be eating lunch after you're off the air, and I won't be grossed out.
I'm glad
Matt,
about
your
it.
Your name is Matt Mason.
I'm glad that about your new time slot because I've been begging for you to move to an earlier time slot so I wouldn't get, you know,
answer
I have to figure
day.
Out who I'm going to listen to, you or Prophet Shakespeare. So it's a battle. So now
yeah,
I can listen to you.
The question is, who introduced you to Shakespeare?
You did, but, hey,
well,
I got to get
gonna,
my...
How you, no, how you gonna do that? That's rude.
No, this
no,
man, this show can make you lose your spirituality at times. So I can listen to the show and then go get my mind renewed afterwards. So I'm happy.
Diva, you're gonna learn to listen to me. This is I would never tell you something that was not the truth.
You sound like a politician.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah.
I do not sound like a politician.
You sound like Bill Clinton. I swear I saw Bill Clinton when you said that.
No.
Brother, it was the truth as I knew it at the time.
No, I don't sound like
and
Bill Clinton.
And exactly what
who are you
the definition of is it?
Me or your lying eyes?
I don't sound like a politician. I sound, because honestly, I really care. I have been so very, very blessed to be around such great people in my life. And I would have to say that.
I would have to say you truly, truly, truly care.
Absolutely. And
I may not get your mindset, where you're getting your ideals and stuff from, but I can say that it comes from a good place. Your other person, I don't know so much. I don't know.
I really want Americans, and I really want people to have a better life. I really do. The question is, the only way to make that happen is if I have the resources to do that. Because people need to see it in action. I was talking to Annie during the break, and we were talking about someone that we knew, and we were talking about being philanthropic and people that give. If you look at the older generations, they gave more. Now, yeah, you had some greedy sons of guns, and they are who they are. But you had some people who really contributed to America. I believe it was – which war was it that where they went out and found people – And they brought money from the business owners to make America survive.
World War II?
Was that World War II?
I believe so.
But then to fix that, they started the Federal Reserve, and they should have never done that. But we have, I mean, we need to get back to where people actually, Federal Reserve, see, scam. We need to get back to where people care about people. And during the break, LS was talking about doing random acts of kindness, and we challenge people to go out and do that during this season. Every day, do some random act of kindness to somebody that you don't know, and teach your kids how to do that. What's wrong with that?
What harm could possibly come out of a random act of kindness?
And now don't try to grab my purse and carry it or my luggage and carry it. But, you know,
yeah, don't get crazy.
Go, see somebody cleaning their car and say, let me help you in the snow. Especially if you see a lady trying to clean her car, somebody helped me this morning, and it was so nice.
That's a $2,300.
I hate cleaning a car in the snow. Go ahead, Jeff. How you doing?
Hey. She don't know about my intentions, though.
You're so blessed. And you don't want to admit it.
You know what my intentions are? The people not be stupid and they understand. That's my intention. Because I hate to see people be stupid and do stupid stuff and then blame it on other people when they get the effects that they get. And it really motivates me to do what I do and to say what I say. Because if you don't know what you're doing, you're going to always do the same thing over again. And when I see my people,
I said do random acts of kindness. And what are you talking about? Are you back on another conversation that I missed?
Random acts of kindness is to illuminate what's going on so that you don't die.
Jeff, that's not a random act of kindness.
That's a huge random act of kindness.
Jeff, that's not a random act of kindness.
Not in your book. I understand. But in my book, it's a random act of kindness.
But there's nothing random about it. You're not in trouble at the moment you give them the information. A random act
of kindness. Are you the kind of person
that
hates other people?
Huh?
Ooh, you haven't met him yet. Hey, Jeff.
Am I what?
Do you hate people?
I love people. I'm always
you
could have
fooled me.
Yeah, and he means
hold
it.
On,
he's got four cookbooks on how to prepare them.
I can't hear nothing without everybody talking.
I know, and I've got to pick up some calls. Hold on. I think my caller is called in. Hold on. Hi, this is Tracy. I am looking for my guest. Is he there?
Mr. Beatty. Bob Beatty.
Bob, are you there? Bob? All right, hold on. 440, your mic is on.
Yeah, I don't know how clear you're picking me up. I'm hearing a lot of static.
Me
but,
too.
I wanted to tell you, my granddaughter was supposed to go to breakfast with Santa at the church. And instead of participating in that with the children, she worked at it. And she's
how did she work at
old.
It?
And she handed out food and, you know, all that.
How lovely. And that's a nice young lady.
That's a random act of kindness.
No, that's at 8 years old. 8 years old.
That little girl
that.
Deserves accolades.
Yeah. And that she did on her own. She says, I much rather work. What's that?
You should nurture that giving spirit and make sure it doesn't get crushed by humanity.
Yeah.
But,
that's awesome.
Yeah, that's great. I'm very proud of her. I'm very proud of her for doing that. So I got something a little special for her. So.
But now you were the same way. Am I correct?
Yeah, we all are. Yeah.
A giving bunch.
I know I don't sound like it sometimes, but I am.
Hey, somebody has their television on.
I have a bad connection, so I'm going to hang up. So you go.
Okay.
Have a nice day.
You too.
Merry
Christmas.
Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Private caller, your mic is on.
Yeah, I just wanted to say. I'm just astonished that all the before you went on break, you asked the question. I'm just astonished at all the men on there, all the excuses that we can come up with. You know, two weeks ago, I was walking out of my apartment building, and the lady lives across the hall from me. She was walking out the same time, and it was when it was real heavy snow. So I go out to start my car to let her run for a minute. I see her clean her car off, so I help her clean her car off. So every day now when I go out to start my car off, if I see snow in her car, she's an elderly lady, I see her where it came. So I just, now when I go out, if there's snow in the car, I just brush her car off when I go out to start my car off. I'm just astonished to hear these men on here start coming up with all kind of excuses of why not to help, you know, why not to help someone. That's a basic problem right there is you get grown men on here coming up with excuses. When you come up with excuses, then your children come up with excuses. Why they won't do nothing for anybody.
No, what people said was it depends on who the person is and what the person's appearance is based, and a lot of people base it on whether they're going to help someone if they live in a big city. But if you live in a big city, people do not do random acts of kindness every other day because people are afraid.
Start giving dollars to homeless people.
A lot of people are afraid, and they're not going to do it. And people take kindness for weakness if you live in a large urban area. Kindness is seen as weakness.
That's an excuse.
So, no, sir, that is not an excuse. That happens to be reality. That's what I'm saying. You're dealing with a different culture when you're dealing with the urban setting. It's a different culture.
Yeah, but see, Ms. Philadelphia, my question is, why don't we change that?
That's a comment. Are you insecure that you're looking at South Carolina?
South Carolina was to say something. One at a time, South Carolina, go ahead.
Is fear that great in the big city that people are afraid to help people because they might get mugged?
I think it's more of an excuse than it is a fear.
I think so too. Tracy.
Yeah.
I think it's an excuse because, I mean, the people in the big city ain't no different than the people in the small city. You get it? If you're going to help, I mean, I'm like you, the first thing when the guy said that he reached out and grabbed the bag, that was the first thing I said was you're supposed to ask somebody first. They don't know what you're doing. All they see is your hand going in their bag. But I'm sure if you'd ask her first, ma'am, would you mind if I help you by pick your bag up and help you? I'm sure she probably said, yeah. She probably got offended first, and then she was defensive. It was too late for you to help her out because you had already touched herself without asking for permission.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I mean, you just can't come. You can't come up and swoop up on me and grab my bags. But if you say, "Hey, excuse me, ma'am, can I help you carry those?" I promise you, I'll probably get in trouble. I'm going to surely help.
Everyone faces challenges.
Because I hate carrying bags. I hate taking out my trash. And yes, you're doing a little gift certificate and saying, listen, I'm your neighbor next door. My name is Tracy. And for your Christmas present this year, I'm going to take out your trash and bring your trash can back every trash day for the whole year. That's a Christmas present for some people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a person.
So just give me a call if you don't mind me doing that.
You
going to come take my trash down?
No, you wouldn't convert my van. I don't love you like that.
I wouldn't mind somebody pumping my gas. I hate pumping gas.
That's what I'm saying.
You used to see the little kids out there pumping people's gas for stuff like that. Now you don't even see that anymore.
No.
But how much of this is just our coarsening of our society, and how much of it is being told you can't do that?
It's a coarsening of our society, not told that you can't do it. No one's told you can't do it.
It's the adults. If the adults don't train the kids, then the kids not going to do it. It's simple as that.
No, because in areas, you have, like, in somewhere in California now, they can no longer hand out sandwiches to the homeless. They can't do random acts or hand out blankets to the homeless.
Diva,
so in certain areas, it is you being told you can't do that.
You can't donate your leftover restaurant food to the homeless shelter in New York City anymore because it ain't healthy.
Let me say it this way, I don't want to get into, because if we're talking about this, let's bring this down to a real simplistic conversation. Then get little $2 gift cards from McDonald's, and hand them a gift card. And you don't have to be – I'm not talking about helping people that are destitute. Random acts of kindness do not have to be people who are struggling.
Yes.
It's just helping the person who's in front of you in line at the subway.
Or visiting someone that you know is in a hospital. Brings
or going
their
to
day.
The nursing home.
And praying for that guy.
Well, people do that if they belong to a church or some other type of religious organization. People visit the – nursing homes and people in prison and all types of things.
But it's usually a result of being part of a larger group. We're talking about individuals doing
in
random acts of kindness. It goes a long way. I still think about the time Tracy, when she was in Columbus, visiting me while I was in the hospital. This is not a woman I've known all my life. This is a woman that I've just known through the radio show, and I met.
Tracy's not nice. Quit trying. Tracy is not nice.
Don't be telling my business.
Tracy's not nice.
She took the time out of her day to come and see me in the hospital. Anybody knows me
because she ain't got no heart.
I'm the resident liberal, and she's very conservative. And to hear us talk on the radio, you would think we would not get along. But the fact that she came, and that really brightened my day. It really did, because I wasn't getting many visitors.
Diva, you're messing up my reputation, sweetie. Diva.
Tracy,
I'm sorry.
I'll
Listen, I'll vouch for you. I know you're heartless.
Thank you very much. Don't be telling people no.
But, you know, like when you're in the airport and you see a couple of guys sitting there in uniform, but pay for their drinks.
No.
Yeah.
No, that's not that you do.
Crazy?
I'm talking about not because they're in uniform, just because there's a lady sitting there or a man sitting there or a woman sitting there. Or it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what they
crazy.
Look like, who they are. They might be the wealthiest person in the world. You can have a Rolex watch on, and you can bless somebody by buying their cup of coffee.
Might dropped all
I'm
their
sorry,
stuff.
Sorry,
help them pick it up.
Yes, South Carolina.
Hey, listen. Here's the attitude you got to take, man. You know, you got to take the attitude that it's not me, it's them. Okay, you got to. It's just like you see somebody, speak to them, say, "Hi, how are you doing?" You know, it
Merry
doesn't make
Christmas.
Any difference.
Hello.
I mean, it's got to be your attitude, and not just this time of year. You got to have it all the time.
That.
All the time. You know, I'm on my vacation, and I'm out here collecting and collecting toys and giving toys to people. You know, and I've got 7 people at my warehouse right now that packing up toys took time out of their day just because. I've got a retired Chief Master Sergeant, that's been taking her vacation, not vacation, but she just there every day, every year. She stays there all the time. Just because
hey, South Carolina.
She likes to do it and she wants to do it. And
we found out about you last night. We've got a business owner that just donated $15,000 to Toys for Tots. Just because.
That's great. Just because.
And just because. He thought, you know, and this is the second year that he's done that, and he just cares enough to do that.
I can work with him. The door kind of opens.
I know Brown must be having a business chat.
You think so?
I think so.
And I mean, doing those kinds of things, just being nice. Hold the door for a couple people. You know, hold the elevator if you got to get on.
Yeah.
And let me say it this way. In some of the big cities, and I know what Philadelphia and what they were saying, but then people have been watching people get mugged and get hurt and never stop to say, I'm sorry, or can I help you, or call 911 or call the police, and just watch them get mugged. Watch them get beaten.
Well, look at that. There was a video on the news the other day of a guy that they were doing that knockout game, and the guy turned around and looked and saw that guy sucker punch that other guy and just kept right on walking.
Yeah, because the guy could have been carrying a gun, and he could have shot him.
I'd have been.
So what? That makes two of us.
So what?
Yeah.
But am I not my brother?
So people are looking to get shot. They person's going to work. They see somebody get assaulted. The first thing they're going to do, if they have a cell phone, they're going
to
call the police. It's not going
to
be their
first
response
to
get involved in the
let's bring this to make it personal. If you saw me being accosted or being hurt, would you walk away or would you do something about it?
Most people, if they live in large cities, they're going to call the police.
Yes,
they're not going to get involved in it because the person who's the assailant could have a weapon, they could have a knife or a gun, and they could shoot you as well.
No. What would you do?
Basically, I'm telling you what I would do. If I have a cell phone, first thing I want to do is call the police.
And then what?
And then if it's somebody else on the street who sees the thing happening, then that person might call the police. But like I said to you before, it's best not to get involved in those type of situations because people do carry weapons. And if you get involved, then there's a chance that person's going
to
be killed or you're going to be killed in the process. There's a chance that the assailant has a gun or a knife, and they will use it.
Hey, Philly.
If they think they're being challenged.
But my question is, so while I'm getting my brains beat out and you see them robbing me, you're going to get on your phone, call 911, and watch me get my brains beat out waiting for the police to come.
Miss,
hello?
Miss, if I don't have a weapon of my own, I'm not going to get involved in it because, like I said, there's a very good possibility the assailant does have a gun, and if I get involved in it, he's going to shoot me too.
Guess what?
There ain't no way I'm going to sit back and watch a woman get beat up.
I want y'all to know something. Y'all, I like roses, so when I die, please send them.
And I love fresh flowers.
That's right.
Because I just died. I refuse to watch somebody get hurt.
That's right.
Me stand there with my hands in my pocket talking about you might have a gun. If we're going to go down, we're going to go down together.
Yep.
That's right.
I'm not going to let somebody.
Well, most people don't have that type of, most
that's
people don't look at it that way.
Then that's a societal problem.
If you're
American,
you look at it that way. 26.
Yeah.
If you're American, you look at it that way.
If you was what?
If you're American, you look at it that way.
Why?
I'm going to help you out.
You going to help me out?
I'm going to help you out and worry about the consequences later.
I'm from the hood. That's how we roll.
Yeah.
People from the hood don't roll like that.
Yeah, they
people
do.
From the hood. People from the hood. Well, look.
Listen.
It all depends on the hood.
Y'all hood in Philadelphia ain't got nothing to do with the sharing line. Where we from, we roll together.
That's
and we help them out. You don't go carry people's stuff out the house.
You come from.
Again, don't change that in the city. Go ahead, Bonnie.
Tracy, I would go down with you guys, too. I'm not going to watch somebody. Philadelphia, I can't wrap my head around that one. I watched a little girl, 5 years old, get off of a school bus. She had a long lane. And there was traffic, and the bus pulled away, and a man stopped his car and started after her. I got out of my car and yelled, run. And the little girl took off. The man knew that I seen him, and he got in his car, and he took off. Now, I didn't, you know, after that, I tried to get, you know, hold the police, told them what happened, so forth and so on. Don't know what happened. I know the little girl got safe. It was 2 or 3 months later. I take the same road. I called the school, and I told them, I figured out what school district it was, and I told them what I had witnessed. And the next time I went down that road, 2 or 3 months later, the bus stopped again. I got behind the bus. The bus driver waited until that little girl got closer to her home and inside the door. Now, I don't know if I made a difference or not that day, but my guess is I did. And that's how I'm going to live my life. And I hope, Philadelphia, that someday somebody decides to live their life that way and help you out when you get into some kind of situation, because that's what it's
first
about.
First of all, miss, you don't know how I live my life. And basically what I'm saying
it
to you is what happens is what happens in large cities. The culture is different. People do not intervene when people see other people get assaulted.
He could have turned around and shot me.
You know, I disagree with him all the time on other shows, but I understand completely what he's talking about. And I really think it's the difference between living in large cities and not living in large
cities.
Hold
on, Brown.
Yeah.
I lived in Los Angeles, and I remember, and I'm not tooting my own horn, but there was a young lady who was getting stomped by a bunch of brothers on a corner one day. And I was driving down the street. It had to have been about 10, 11 o'clock at night. And I pulled my little Volkswagen Golf over, got out the car, told them Jesus was going to get you. It didn't have a gun one. Picked that girl up with her bloody self, put her in my car, watched them run away, and asked her where she needed to go. I was not going to let them stomp her like that and me drive by, honk my horn, and keep on going. And I didn't know her
also
or them.
Too, I think also, too, it's a difference when female,
that's
when it's female in a situation than a male. Most men who...
So why would men have no balls?
No, but a man, aggressive male is more than likely going to be aggressive towards a male who's trying to intervene more so than a female.
But again,
I believe that's patriarchy at work, because there are instances when men need protection too, and it doesn't make them weak, it doesn't make them less of a man, it makes them human beings.
440, your mic is on.
Hello?
Yeah, this is Steve.
Hold on, Steve. 440, your mic is on.
This Michigan. This ain't Michigan. That's not my number. You talking to me?
No, you're 226. Go ahead, Michigan.
Yeah, I just had to call in and at least try to save, was that Philadelphia?
Yeah.
That surprised me to hear him say that he would do that if he saw you getting beat. Well, I'm on, you know, there's rites of passage programs that in Philadelphia that Philadelphia probably should go in. There's no way that I would see you getting jumped on and call the police and wait on the police. There's no way.
Yeah, hello. I don't need to go any rites of passage programs. I'm an adult, and I'm speaking from experience, and I don't know where all the locations.
Adults go through rites of passage programs, too, but for the most part, that's what needs to go through them. But for him to, I'll probably speak for most black men. Most black men would not call the police and wait on the police while you get beat up.
And in Michigan, right now, it's becoming a trend now. I mean, at one time, I would agree with you. But I know it's been a trend where there have been numbers of instances across the nation, especially in the big inner city urban areas, where they have seen old men, people getting robbed at gas station, getting their gas, getting the crap beat out of them right there, and everybody standing around like it's a fight, like it's Ali and Frazier.
Well, that's because everybody's expecting for someone else to intervene so that they don't have to.
Yes.
You intervened, you were putting your life on the line. As far as a man and a woman getting into it and arguing and it turns physical, I have no idea of those circumstances.
I'm not talking about domestic violence. I said she was getting stomped by a number of young people. There was a number of men there. It wasn't one-on-one.
From children being approached in the street to a man and a woman to what you said as a group of guys beating on a woman. We're discussing
There was an old man in Michigan over the summer who got beat down at the gas station while he was getting his gas pumped. And they stood around and watched it like it was the Ali Frazier fight. And what I'm saying is, we have to become a part of a culture again to where we help one another out, even if it's a stranger.
It's like if you watch the Sharkeisha video, I don't know if anybody's familiar with that, but the video is about this girl named Sharkeisha. She got into an altercation with one of her supposed friends, and the other girls were just standing around videotaping it. Now she comes out of nowhere and just clocks this girl. I mean, knocks her down and just starts stomping on her. No one intervened. Not one person did anything. I can't imagine sitting there and watching someone get beat down like that, one male or female, and not do anything.
Hey, Tracy.
Yeah.
Yeah, can I ask Philly, what's the other one? Brown.
Look.
Yeah.
Could they tell us what they think their fathers would do in a situation like that?
What difference does it make? You do what you do. And you know something?
You don't have to get. I just asked you a question, brother. What would you want to do?
Hold on.
First of all, sir. What you're trying to do is you're trying to make this thing personal. What I'm telling you is the next time you see somebody go through an aggravated assault, you call back to the Tracy and Friends show and you tell everybody on air. But what your actions were at the time. But personally, I have seen somebody shoot a MAC-10 semi-assault type pistol, and all it takes is one shot, and you can kill somebody with one shot if you're shooting that type of weapon. A lot of people out here, they carry high-powered handguns and weapons. If you get in the middle of an aggravated assault, there's a chance that the person who's doing the assault will pull the weapon, or somebody who is in the vicinity of the assault who knows the person who's beating somebody up, that person could pull a weapon on you. So you
so
have to go by
what
your experience is and what the culture is of the,
now,
of the place that you live.
Hey, we'll be right back. You listen.
Yeah, what did your father do? That's a simple question.
But
what do you think your father
this has nothing to do with what my father would do, sir. I'm telling you what the reality is. It has nothing to do with my personal family or what my family member would do. It has to do with what reality is. What reality is that people are carrying semi-automatic pistols every day, and all it takes is one gunshot, and you can kill someone. Because a lot of people have hollow point bullets in these semi-automatic pistols. These bullets go straight to your body.
Hey, Brown, would you answer the question?
Me personally, I thought it was an inappropriate question.
Right, it's an inappropriate question. It has nothing to do with what family members would do. All it takes is one shot can kill.
Wait a minute.
One shot of a semi-automatic pistol can kill.
Is that Diva?
Calm down.
Is that Diva?
Yes.
That is inappropriate?
Yes.
Let me tell you why it's not inappropriate from an African perspective. Because
this guy won't talk this African bullshit.
Well, come people, language, please. Jeez.
You hear what he... Well, see, that tells you where he at. When he say, whenever you hear a black man say African shit is bullshit, that tells you where he at.
Oh, my God.
But anyway, it may be inappropriate to ask you. You may see it as inappropriate. But when you go through an African rites of passage program...
I don't need to go through a rites of passage program, sir.
I don't need to go through that. Brother.
I deal with reality. I know what the reality of the situation of the street is.
Can I finish with what I was saying to people? I was just telling her that when you go through that type of program, the connection you have with your father is used in helping
First of all, it's inappropriate for you to bring up somebody's family members, and we're talking about personal experiences.
Okay, but I'm
you know,
we,
and
we can
and
go past
and,
it,
and
if I offended you,
and like
first of all,
you don't know me personally, so therefore, there's no reason to bring up somebody's parents. And what their parents would do.
I just told you.
I'm telling you based on my personal experience with people who are in the street life. A lot of people are carrying semi-automatic pistols. You get involved in an aggravated assault, there's a chance you're going
to
be shot and killed.
I'm trying to apologize now, but you won't allow him to.
And how many times are you going to say the same thing, brother, about the semi-automatic weapon? We heard you the first time. If I offended you, I apologize. The context in which I brought it up, it does have something to do with an African rites of passage. Now, if I offended you by saying that, you need to go through a rites of passage program. I apologize.
I don't need to go through a rites of passage program. You don't speak for me.
Let's apologize.
Let's talk about balloons now. We can go to pizza. You want to talk about pizza? We can change the subject now. What you want to talk about?
This is a talk show, so you can talk what you want to talk about. So go ahead and talk.
Okay.
I'm not stopping you from talking.
Yeah, you are. Technically, you are because you're over-talking.
I just wanted to move on. I apologize. We just move on, brother. That's okay. Yeah, I guess that's a showstopper.
Everybody trying to calm down, relax, and breathe.
Somebody has a radio on. Does somebody have a radio still? I can hear like an echo. Can anyone else hear that echo?
Yes, I can hear it.
Yeah, it's like a radio feedback or something.
Probably my cordless phone. But it just only happened once.
Is it a speakerphone?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, that may be. That might be
it. Let me see. Are you still hearing it?
Yeah, a little.
Yeah, okay, it's not my speaker. It's not my phone.
Yeah. Sometimes car radios do that, too, I think, when you're on a cell phone.
I've been muted this whole time. I've been trying to get involved in the argument, but it's probably better that I didn't.
Well,
I completely understand. where Philadelphia is coming from.
I'm trying to be the peacemaker.
Because
excuse me one second, I'll be right back.
Because easily so funny. When you run it, nobody wants to get shot, nobody wants to get hurt, and then you're thinking about your family. But
thank God that we just got
you want to at first you do want to take a step back in certain situations, fill it out. But I would have to honestly say I would scream, stop, don't do that, I'm calling the police. I would have to do something, even if I'm not going to get, because I would not want to get physically involved in a,
form into the 50th,
in a assault. But then sometimes you let the adrenaline flow and your emotions get the best of you. I happened to witness a young girl being raped, and all my rage came out, and I had on 5-inch heels, and I stumped this dude. I just stumped him because I could not believe what I was seeing. This guy is bigger than me. And then when he ran, I got to my car, and I tried to run him over. So you never know what you're going to do in a certain situation. Some people will step back.
But, you know, Diva, you had more strength because you had you were responding from the heart. You know? You really became stronger than you thought you really could be.
That's like no room there, but you could
that's
have
what I
problem.
Thought about. You know, then you sit back and you're like, man, this guy could have had a weapon.
Yeah,
he
sure.
And I had a child. At the time, I had my daughter. You know, in hindsight, it's 2020, and I'm thinking, you know, everybody's telling me, that was crazy. How could, you know, that guy could have had a weapon. I was like, I wasn't thinking, you know. I just couldn't believe what I was seeing.
I know.
I wouldn't do anything like that.
Same.
No,
I think Beasley's on the call.
I think it's his cordless phone or something. How much do you want to bet?
And I want to thank everybody for listening and chiming in and calling in and being here with us. Tomorrow we will be here, and Stick is coming in tomorrow. Mark Manchin will be here. Mark knows it all Thursday. And I don't know what else we're doing. I don't know what we're talking. What are we talking about tomorrow at 6?
We got David Long. He's an Indiana state senator. He's working. He's working on the Fifth Amendment project, trying to get a convention of the states to amend the Constitution.
And I'm also going to try to get Senator Portman on tomorrow Friday, just to have him on and talk about the budget, the vote that's going to happen today. He's voting in favor of it, it's my understanding, and it's split right now within the party of Republicans and Democrats, who's going to vote for or against it. And so they are going to, I know he said last night, I was on a conference call with him, and he said he was going to be voting in favor of it. It was open, Mike. We were talking about random acts of kindness and what you would do if you saw somebody being assaulted. And I say this, and there was some conversation that went on, and Philadelphia, we're not picking on you. You know, people do what they have to do. But, you know, I've read about people that have jumped down in front of trains to help people come off the track that have fallen in major cities. So there are some people in major cities that will do some things. I've read about people who've helped people. I've helped people and lived in a major city, and I've done it more than just once. I just don't get the, you got to do what you have to do, and I'll call 911 and wait for the popo. I just don't do that. I just don't get it, and it's not going to be me. And if I get killed, if I get shot, I mean, I'd rather die for something, because there's too many people dying for nothing every day. They really are. I mean, if you look at our young people in the inner city, they're dropping dead every day from a gunshot wound for absolutely nothing. So if you're going to die, just die for something and be ready to die.
Yeah.
That just is.
Well, you know, I mean,
if I'm going to get hurt, you know, we'll deal with the hurt afterwards. But I'm not going to sit down and say, well, you know, I might get hurt or you might shoot me. I hope you're a good shot.
It
just knocked me out. If I die, I die. Just, I don't want to be lingering.
Well,
you know what?
In my experience, that's not human nature.
Hold on,
I
know.
Self-preservation.
Philadelphia, hold on. Go ahead, Brown.
You know what street logic tells you? Like what you saw in Los Angeles, where these guys are stomping on this girl, and there's a group of them. Street logic tells you she did something to deserve this. Okay.
What?
Now, she may have. No, seriously. Seriously.
Wow.
Seriously. And that's why you don't get involved in people's stuff, because you don't know the story. So you think you're defending some person that's catching heck, okay?
I don't care if she stole everything you had.
If you want to whip her, you need to take her home. For a reason, that they have a job to do, and it's not my job to do the police's job. Now, if I see an old man or something like that, I would probably speak up and say something, okay?
Wow.
Our community is like it is, because you only have men who are willing to stand up and risk their life. And then especially the ones who say that they're men of God. The Bible says you're not the one who can kill the body, but the one who can kill the body and the soul. So what you got to do,
the Bible says a lot of things, and I'm sure most of us don't live by everything that's said in the Bible.
But Brown, you just said call the police, but according to Warren versus District of Columbia, they're not responsible to protect anybody anyways.
That's true.
Hey, it's a crazy world. I mean, it's a crazy world.
That's why everybody
ought
to be packing.
I can't fix all of its ills, and I'm not going to even get into a shootout with someone if I carried a gun. I'm trying to avoid things.
They need to be packing guns. They should have God. That's what they should be packing. If you're packing guns, while that cause gets worse. If you're packing God, you got God with you. That's all you need.
That's not entirely true. Jesus told him to sell your cloak and buy a sword.
No, that's not true. Everybody trying to find a scripture to quantify what they want to believe. Just like Peter went and cut off the guard's ear and he put it back.
That's right.
So you don't.
He lives by the sword, will die by the sword.
You don't have to have a gun, but you got to have the heart.
Right.
And if you ain't got the heart, then you need to put the gun, the knife, and the stones away. The problem is we have not, in our society, we are selfish.
Well, yeah, I agree.
Don't hurt me. It's all about me, and I'm not going to help anybody else because it might cause some discomfort. And that's a problem.
Yes, it is a problem. I agree.
And if you're packing and you can't shoot, everybody don't need to pack. Because if I pack, I'm going to shoot. And I may shoot you and you don't deserve to be shot.
I know that me personally, I would hold my tongue quite a bit more if I knew that everybody had a gun.
Hold on just a second. I got some calls out here. I'm Michigan. He was on here. Y'all kicked him off.
You shouldn't have made him angry.
831 Bonnie, that's you. 440.
Yes.
440, your mic is on. Michigan?
Yeah, I'm 267.
Okay. I saw Michigan in there, too. I got another private caller. I want to thank you guys for being with me tomorrow. Tomorrow we'll have a good conversation. But I random acts of kindness are not a bad thing to do. You don't have to do it. I mean, I don't know why people think they got to go out and help everybody that's destitute. They got to go do all that. It's not necessary. Just, you know, be nice. Hold the door. Make sure you don't laugh when people fall down when you see them sliding on ice. As a matter of fact, if you're driving, let somebody get in front of you.
See a lady sitting alongside the road with steam coming out from underneath her hood, stop and take care of her.
No, don't do that.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no. Because if she got steam coming out of her ears, you don't want to be...
No, out from under her hood, not her ears.
No, you don't want to do that.
No.
The
hood on her car.
I said hood, not ears.
Hey, Mike, what's going on? How are you?
I'm okay. I'm just listening to this conversation. Yeah, more people should be packing love in their heart. That's what they should be packing. A little compassion.
That, too.
Thank you.
That's the key.
Because,
I mean, seriously, I mean, look at what we teach our children. I mean, growing up, even today, I see young people sitting down in a chair,
mm-hmm.
and an older person will come in a room,
yep.
and they won't get up to let that old person sit down. And I'm not
saying dad don't get them, walk over and slap them out of the chair.
I mean, just,
that's what happened when I was
just
little.
Get up and say, hey, miss, you can have my seat.
Yeah.
They don't do that.
Yeah, see, when I was little, if that happened, my dad slapped me out of that chair.
How hard is that? And let the lady sit down.
And you know what? If your dad slaps you out of the chair the first time, the next time the situation happens, you stand up.
Automatically.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a random act of kindness. I mean, if you know, or letting somebody get, if you're at the grocery store and you got two things, I'm sorry, you got a cart full of groceries and you see somebody behind you and they only got two items, why not let them in front of you?
All right, Sticks. Let's say I walk into the room and I'm watching you slap this kid. With you. You're a grown man. Why are you hitting this child like this?
It all depends on how hard you slap him.
What if I decide to intervene when it's none of my business
It all depends how hard and how many times.
No. It all depends on how bad the kid was acting. That's a whole other situation.
It's proof that when you don't know the context and the circumstance, you should mind your business.
No.
I'll tell you right now, Brown. If I walk into some place and somebody's wailing on their kid, I'm going to intervene. If they give them one swat across the backside, I'm just going to walk right on by. There's a whole lot of difference between wailing on your kid and giving them one swat across the backside. Reasonable man standard.
That's not reason therapy.
There are guidelines, and what you determine to be right and wrong is how someone else should discipline their child.
No. Listen,
there's a difference between discipline and abuse now. Come on.
Yes,
I can't
there's a difference between
the
child and abuse.
And
if that situation happened and I were the parent, I would simply say, get your butt up and let the lady sit down. You don't have to put your hands on the child.
We don't hear that today because they don't move. We don't teach it to our young people. We don't teach them respect. We don't teach them to get up. And this is in the church, out the church, around the town, up socioeconomic status. They don't care who it is. And we don't teach it.
Right. And as far as Dad slapping me out of the chair, it would have depended where it was at. If it was in Grandma's dining room, you better believe I'd be laying on the floor.
Yeah.
In a waiting room in a doctor's office, probably not.
Oh, but when I got home.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but so
then,
I. Never
but then mind. I didn't get a chance to cuss my teacher out either.
Oh,
I had
I mean,
the opposite
even,
happen.
No. There'd have been.
What I'm saying is, I mean, you have to use common sense. I mean, you just don't do everything everywhere. But I tell you what, I was somewhere the other day, and this kid, I was in a store, and this kid laid down in the middle of the floor. He just laid down. And if you guys may not know me. I just went over to the kid and said, "Why are you laying there like that?" I don't know him, his mama. I don't know the people. I know nothing. And I'm waiting to get cussed out.
Do you think he could have had autism?
No, he didn't have no autism. He needed his butt whipped. No, he was just that's what he needed. It was just second nature. That's why I don't have kids. I know why God is not giving me kids, because I would be in jail. Because I don't see that
happening.
All right,
Tracy, you'd be
all
right.
And I'm almost seeing this again.
You're listening to Tracy. As you, and you'd be all
right.
You learned the balance. You learned the balance. I had the same attitude before I had my daughter. But you learn to balance when you have kids. You really do. You mellow out. It's not that bad.
I saw the
opposite. You're crazy. Don't come out all that often and as harsh as you think it would.
I got in trouble for the opposite. I saw some little 2 or 3 year old kid wailing on his mother, hitting her and everything else one day. I went, "Hey, you stop there. I'll go get the police." She gave me a dirty look. That's what I was told by the person who was there. I don't go children hitting their parents. I don't go it either way, you know, but that kid learned that from somewhere. It was okay to assault his mother.
Well, the one thing that I will not get involved in is a parent, how they parenting, because in that instance, you got some people who take a laissez-faire attempt at parenting, and their little 2, 3 year old, oh, they don't know better. So you want to raise your kid to hit on you? That's you.
Problem
but
is when
a
that kid
parent
turns 18,
sitting up there,
okay to
hitting
on
their 9 year old, like they're grown. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm gonna intervene.
10.
So, Diva, it's been a pleasure being here with you today.
I'm shocked. Normally you're yelling at me.
I am not normal. I'm not. This is not Jeff. This is Mike.
Mike, sometimes you yell at me too.
Well, sometimes you yell at me and call me names and everything.
I don't like
to begin with you when we're discussing a topic.
Tracy's been muting me the whole show, and I've been talking, thinking I'm being heard because the people are being quiet.
Yeah, me too. I've been muting right. because she keeps right. thinking there's background noise, and she keeps muting me, and it's not me. It's other people that on speakerphones and stuff.
So is Tracy on a break right now? Or
no, it's the end of the show.
I think we're in the green room.
Oh, for goodness sakes, it's 3 o'clock? I've been hanging on here listening, and it's 3 o'clock?
That's right. Do you know where your children are?
I do know where they are, but I didn't know where I was. I have to go, guys.
Goodbye, sweetheart.
Right.
I have enjoyed
nice
talking to you guys. Yes, thank you. Talk with you tomorrow or be listening.
Yeah,
bye-bye.
The more
wait,
I
no, the mic is still open.
Diva, the more I agree with
you. Oh, it is?
Yeah, the mic is still open.
Well, they said 3 o'clock. The show is over.
Yeah,
yeah
but
in the chat room, the mic sometimes stays open.
Oh, I didn't know.
Oh,
I did you guys hear me when I said I think she cut me off? When Styx was talking about, you know, that is, you know, slapping the kid because he didn't get up and slap him out of the chair.
I heard you say that.
I heard it.
That I said that what if I were to come in and intervene and, like, don't you slap that child? And he said, you know, he said that, you know, if it were one slap, if it were okay, but if it's a number of slaps, it's not okay. And, you know,
wailing on the kid, he said,
but who's to say what, you know, how people raise their children or do with their children is what they do.
Right.
And that's my argument when it comes to getting involved with things on the street.
Yeah.
And I agree with what John said, and I think it's a city thing. And all of those people that talk about they would do all this heroic stuff and Tracy giving that martyr speech, that's BS. And
BS,
and
a lot of BS.
In my opinion, let the lady speak.
I can tell you from my own personal experience, Beasley, I can tell you, there was a young man who was, and it's going to get personal, and I don't want to tell this story.
Go ahead.
But I got a child out of a car, and I was attacked. I was physically attacked, and you know, I responded because I felt I seen the child was in danger. And I responded, and I was physically attacked, and I retaliated, and I found strength, like Diva was saying, that she was able to put fear in that other person, and it stopped. I mean, there was an arrest later. This was my oldest grandson, and when even talking about it, it makes me. And I understand. I don't live in a city, and I don't choose to live there. And it would be a scary place. I don't think I could make it there. But where I have lived and what I truly have done in my life, these things have happened often. They are true. They are all true. I'm not making this stuff up.
I just
let
can't
me share,
imagine
let me share something
myself
real quick
sitting there and allowing someone to get bullied, beat, abused.
Right.
Hurt in any
right.
kind of way without me.
I can't do it.
Doing something. If I got to go pick up a stick, a bottle, something
right.
to get someone off the spot or use my 5-inch stilettos to stop somebody from being attacked, I'm going to do
you
it.
You don't know the circumstances. Let me relate to what the lady said previously, and I'm sorry. You're Bonnie. Is that who you are?
Bonnie, yes.
Yes,
I'm Bonnie.
Let me relate this. You mentioned something about the guy pulling up. And the little girl.
I was on my way home one day. Yes, that was another incident. Yes.
Let me relate a real story to you, and I'll make it quick. I have a friend, and he's black, and his wife is white, and they've been married, about 15 years, and they have 2 children, and one is very fair-skinned, and, you know, it's hard to tell that she's black, and the boy, you know, looks a little bit more mixed race. But he was picking his 7-year-old daughter up,
uh-huh.
from school. and a similar type of thing. She was getting into the car. Someone felt something was wrong because this black, now this is his biological daughter, okay? He was picking up his, he picked up his daughter from school. He drove down about a block and a half away. All of a sudden, all kinds of cop cars. He's asked to get out of the car. He lays on the ground. They've drawn him on a gun. They put him through all of that, and all he was doing was picking his daughter up from school. So,
but see, in that circumstance, Beasley, I wouldn't think nothing of it unless the child was screaming, no. Then
well,
I'm going to interject.
It was a parking lot, Bonnie, and you know what? And there's nothing wrong with trying to save a child, but when you don't know the circumstances, and maybe you saw something, but those things happen as well.
Well, my thing is,
first of all,
it's better to err on the side of caution than to let harm come to a person. Because, hey, those people could have been, that person could have been engaged in rough, the young child that I helped, she could have consented to that. But what I was seeing was not what that didn't register in my mind. I'm seeing a grown man on top of a child, a person I know that is a child. And there's no way for a grown man to be in that circumstance with a child.
Right.
So
well,
what I did was I stood them out.
All these circumstances are different, and I'm not as cold-hearted as I seem. I have to remind myself to try to mind my business, and it's gotten maybe easier. But I'm reflecting back, there's many times where I saw a kid lost, and I'll take them over to the lost and found or sit there with them for a minute. I've done that before, and I've done things maybe to intervene. If I saw some kids, I saw some kids harassing a woman, and it doesn't even take physically getting involved. Sometimes you can just say,
right.
Hey, stop that, leave them alone.
You're
and
right.
That's what I'm saying to Philadelphia. If you're seeing an assault going down, a felonious assault going down, you could say, hey, stop that. I'm calling the police. You don't have to.
Yeah, hello.
But in the same respect, if I see a fight between two people, I guess I'm a voyeur. We stop and watch.
Yeah. People,
I see
people
two men fight
in fight terms
in street,
of,
I'll say, oh, wow, good, a fight.
Assault.
I'll watch it.
And felonious assaults all the time in certain parts of the city. But most people take the majority of people are very cautious about the way they approach those assaults because, like I said, a lot of people who engage in assaults on the street, they are carrying weapons, and no one wants to be shot for nothing. So most people take, I would say the majority of people
I think it's dangerous
would try to take the position
don't know,
of caution
the
and call the police first.
Yeah.
I
either
think
that's what I was going
to
say,
when you don't know the circumstances.
Instead of going up and threatening to call the police, let them know you've already called the police. Even if you didn't call them, at least don't threaten with it, because this way here, that might make them just run, you know, or disengage, you know, rather than I will call the police.
But,
they might try to stop you.
But it depends on the circumstances of the assault. If you're dealing with somebody that's involved in gang activity and you have a gang assault, they're not going to stop. If someone yells out, they're going to call the police. They're going to continue with the assault.
Adult beating a child.
They may.
Talking about an adult beating a child.
Well, if you have a situation where you have an adult beating a child, then the best policy is to ask the person to stop. If the person refuses to stop, then you call 911, but don't get involved in the assault in a physical way, because then you would cause the person to retaliate against you. And usually a lot of people are violent.
What if you saw a stick?
A lot of people, if you don't know the person can be violent in their process of retaliation. They can pull a knife.
And I'm going to draw my own personal experience of going through an actual physical assault. But my assault came from a family member. We got into an argument. And people will say, yes, your mouth will make you take somebody there. But there is no reason for a 6'2" grown man, 200 pounds, putting his hands on a 5'3", 125-pound female, no matter how smart she gets. But the fact still remains, when he assaulted me, everyone stood around and did nothing, and the police.
Now your
asked,
own family should have done something. Take your hands off.
And the police
her.
Asked them, right. Like, why did y'all let this happen? First off, why didn't y'all
crazy.
Even call the? police. I mean, all I could think of, well, what if my cousin would have done that to me on the street? Would you have just walked past? Because you didn't know me, you didn't know the situation, you didn't know the circumstances?
You bet they would have if they let it happen to you. But we don't know the circumstance there. Not saying that it's right or wrong. Maybe they, I mean, I'm just speculating. Maybe they felt what you said was so low and so cutting. Nah. Words are words.
No, they didn't intervene because he has a problem with, he